Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
Why don't I call Brian and see if he wants to maybe come out this weekend? So I call Brian, make plans, end up hanging out at a bar. So anyway, we get there, and as we're leaving, a friend of ours that came with us, I walk out, and somebody tells me, he and Brian are about to get into a fist fight.
Awesome.
Your girl, the missus, pointing out in the hero's talk room, fighting on the streets. Literally fighting on the streets.
But this friend of ours, what he decided to do is to kiss Brian.
Well, I walked into a Barnes Serpico reunion show, and he comes up to me, and I didn't see who it was, but grabs my head, turns it around, open mouth kisses me on my mouth. I've never open mouth kissed a man.
Well, that's the other part. You don't want to accuse somebody of being a stalker when they think they're being romantic, you know? Like, maybe it's a nice thing, and I'm getting creeped out by it just because I tend to go to creepy.
So I do that. I go to this bar, and I'm just hanging out. So I'm hanging out BSing with the bartender, and so I decide to go out and have a cigarette, and this girl follows me, and when we're finished, she ends up sitting next to me at the bar. We were hitting it off. So when she gets up to use the ladies' room, the bartender comes over, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. You know, you're going to get late tonight. This is going to be great. And he's like, dude, he goes, do you know that used to be a guy? And I thanked him, and I tipped him $50, and I was like, thank you very much.
Who's this?
Voldemort.
Is this really Voldemort?
It really is. Like halfway through, like arguing in the street, I'm like, just slap me in the face and I'm gonna slap you back. I'm like, no, it's really slap me. I'm like, no, really slap me in the face. He's like, boom. And I'm like, boom. And I want to apologize first and foremost to Voldemort.
And Brian, just so you know, our buddy Keith, who is pointing out in the chat room. Wait, isn't there a one caller show limit? Rob, can you take care of Brian, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
With a new way to make a sound of it. Come on, give me a break. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here. Just here. No, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. It's a magical wonderland, a fantasy cavalcade of all sorts of talking crap. Want to be a part? You know you can. After I make some silly sounds like this. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, back from hiatus. It seems like it's been forever, but it's only been a week. It's only been a week. You want to be a part of the program? You can. 877-744-6405. We're going to be talking, doing, I don't know, all sorts of jerk stuff. It's magic. It's a wonderland, all that crap. I'm going to be hanging with you all 3 hours tonight of this program. My name's Chris. You know who's going to be hanging with me? My buddy, my partner, my friend, my lover. I look across the table. What's his name? It's Keith.
Dusting the cobwebs off, my friend. Dusting the cobwebs.
You know, it's hard. It's
like, is this thing on? How do I do this?
I know, it's weird, right? It's kind of, it feels almost like pitchers and catchers reporting for the first time, getting ready to start a new season, doesn't it?
Sort of.
Season 2 of Best in Show? Or actually, it's like season 15, I think, because we do like 3-day seasons, right?
But there should have been like our own little like daybreak to fill the...
Exactly, to fill the void.
Some Taydig show should have been on in the middle.
Well, no matter what it is. I look over next to him, and who do I see sitting there? Somebody who's a little bit handsome, and he has a weird shirt on that says Herpy's birthday? What?
Herpy birthday.
Oh, very good. His name's Fred.
What's up? What's going on?
Chilling. How are you?
Good.
You look very nice. You look well-dressed with your nice fine sweater on. You don't look like no more hunting gear for you, gearing up.
This T-shirt was a hand-me-down.
Oh, I hate to know who it was from, Herpy.
You really do have a shirt that says Herpy birthday on.
It was a hand-me-down. I was painted my aunt's house, and she's like, you know what? Your cousins have a lot of clothes that they want to get rid of. So I went through all their clothes, and this is the only thing that I took.
Why would they want to get rid of that? I would love to keep that forever. That's a great shirt.
They had all these like Brooks Brothers like button-down shirts and like really nice pants, and I took the Herpy birthday T-shirt.
Why would you be painting in some Brooks Brothers pants and shirts and
whatnot? Well, she was just getting rid of their clothes because, you know, they have other clothes, and she was going to throw them out.
That was the system of payment? Paint this, and you can have clothes? Is that exactly how it worked out?
Exactly.
Interesting relations, interesting things that go on in your family. Speaking of, look who's sitting over there. It's not Brown. It's somebody that's just a little bit related to you. It's Chaz the Dazzler. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Chilling. Welcome to what would you consider this? Rob's Studios, Heroes Talk Studios.
It's really nice. I like
Gigs
that.
Central. I don't know what exactly you would call this place, but it's a place where we do radio.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Hanging, you know? Speaking of, he's the executive producer. He's sitting at the helm. He makes sure everything goes just right, fancy-free, and all that jazz. It's Bobby G.
What's going on, fellas?
Chilling.
And whatnot.
Yeah, you know? It's a very, very...
All the whatnots.
Have I said whatnot at least 14 times already, or...?
Not yet. I'm hoping.
Oh, good. We could only have... Mayhaps I will. Awesome. So it's bestinshowbestinshowradio.com. As I was saying before, you want to be a part of this program, you can. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger. I'm on as Best in Show Chris. He's on as Best in Show Keith. The other guy's on as Best in Show Rob. You can go over to Pal Talk, go to the Heroes Talk radio room, or just go to heroestalk.com. There's all sorts of fun talking. We'll be your friends for at least 2 to 3 hours tonight. It'll be an exciting time. As you look at all these amazing internet things that I just talked about, where people can get you, probably the most popular of the internet networking communities, I guess right now, would be the Facebook. No?
Oh, I would agree 100%. As a matter of fact, I think I've heard many people say that MySpace is dying, and that Facebook is to MySpace now what MySpace was to Friendster.
Oh, snap. So MySpace is to Friendster what CompuServe was to AOL?
What ColecoVision was to Atari.
Snap. Wait, no, the other way around.
But ColecoVision invited Atari to the party, at least, through expansion modules.
I didn't even know that existed. You could play Atari through ColecoVision?
Yeah, I had like an Atari 2600 that you plugged into it had like at the bottom of it, the expansion, like at the bottom of the hardware, it had like a cartridge that fit into the ColecoVision slot.
In the northeast quadrant of the ColecoVision?
Somewhere you'd snap it in? About in the Minnesota of the thing, like more central north.
I was unaware of any Atari / ColecoVision interface that existed in the world.
But how is MySpace really dying?
Well, now all the money that they weren't making now they're making less of it.
And just ad space, right? That's the only way MySpace makes money. Yeah, these things.
I was saying that they don't make money. They don't make money off of us, but they definitely do, obviously, for advertising. Dude, when I log into MySpace every day, I get to hear some new band, their new hotness is dropping.
I get event invitations like crazy. Oh, I really love those.
Secret stand-up? Dude, I'm going to be at every MySpace secret stand-up event.
You're a commodity, Keith. You're a commodity.
I am. Crazy event invitations and birthdays. I love hearing that people are having birthdays.
It's exciting.
And so on MySpace, you're getting the new bands and stuff like that. But when you log into Facebook, you're getting all the gossip and everyone's news. Is that it? Is that why Facebook
is
better?
That is creepy. That is the. I find that really creepy about Facebook. I kind of like it, and I'm on it. But I don't want to know. I don't want to know all this stuff about people.
I definitely love that.
Could you see on people's walls?
The entire point for being on any of these things, well, outside of, I guess, networking and trying to publicize the fact that you do an internet radio show Mondays and Thursdays here on Heroes Talk, the only other reason to do it is to read what other people are thinking. That's my favorite thing. I've said that in the past here, like about MySpace, like people with certain songs on their profile because they want like some message out there and change their quotes and all that and their mood. I love that crap.
I do kind of like that about hearing that about my friends, like, you know, something interesting that happened where I wasn't there and they kind of suggest it. But I also get like these people that I haven't seen since I'm, you know, 8 that
I'm like, really?
And it's one thing if you send a request to me and you want to be my friend. It's another thing, and I accept it. But it's another thing if you don't like try to catch up then and be like, oh, what have you been up to for the last 22 years? You know,
I'm even worse though. I'm guilty of that myself. But I'm also guilty of like I'll see somebody and like case in point, as Rob can attest to, there's a lot of people from our old job that worked at the old Pergament Hardware store on Facebook. And I'll see them through other people and send like a friend request, but not a message. And then they'll send me a message back like, hey, Keith, wow, I haven't seen you in so long. How's everything? How's this and that? And then I just don't have an answer.
I didn't want to talk. I just wanted to collect you as a friend.
And it's not that. It's not that I
wanted to pad my friend stats.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going for.
I always think, all right, you know what? I'm not going to just answer this. I'm not going to just give a quick answer right now. I'm actually going to stop and actually talk to this person. I'm going to send them a message and then it just never happens.
By the way, I just want to point out that the Jives, who I insist on calling the Hives, is saying in the chat room that that Brian's voice sounds a bit deeper and he looks like they finally dropped. Congratulations. No, that's not actually Brian. That's actually our buddy Chaz the Dazzler sitting in with us this week.
And he can see with his own eyes. You know?
Indeed.
Well, my wife got a Facebook, I guess, invitation from this guy like in grammar school to be her Facebook friend that she really never talked to and she really didn't even like in grammar school. So she goes, all right, she accepts it. And then, of course, she writes back that, you know, everybody says, oh, how you doing or something like that when you, accept the invitation. But then he didn't write back. So it makes her hate him even more than when she was in grammar school. It makes him hate him even more now. So I could see how it could be. It could not be a good thing. It could be a very negative thing, this Facebook.
My favorite things here are going on in the chat room. Here's talking Vanessa saying her cousin was talking to her. Oh, my God, how are you? What's happening? Blah, blah, blah. So she ignored her. No problem. And Walter Sobchak is saying in the Pal Talk room, what about a person that thinks you're their friend but you actually detest them? And they like, do you accept friendship from those people and then just not talk? Or do you actually take them on and or not take them on at all?
Ooh, that's good. I can't answer that because it's all dead to me.
I know. That's I actually have that noted here that Fred has moved out of the internet networking, whatever McCall-its.
I've never actually had anyone I hate send me a friend request, so
good
I can't
cover.
Honestly answer
good
that.
Cover.
I'm going to the anti-social networking sites. I can't tell you what they are because they're, really underground, but they're anti-social networking
awesome.
Sites. They're
How many
great.
Friends do you have? None.
Exactly.
You know what's funny?
My room. It's called My Room.
You collect negative friends on that one.
Awesome. I hate this dude so much.
I actually recently, I've been getting a lot of aunts are requesting me as friends, or cousins that are much older.
Oh, see, that's what
I
get.
It's like creep. It's a little creep. No. I mean, do I really want to write what happened to me last night? I do, but I'm not gonna now because
and now all the pictures you puke in
my
places.
Yale is on. Oh, that's not gonna happen.
It's like the police now. It's the Facebook police.
I mean, I don't really care.
I think the big problem with Facebook is all the applications, the constant problem.
Or the best part, addiction, love it, the best thing ever that could happen.
Some of them good. As someone that's created some annoying ones myself, I probably am a hypocrite. But I think the creepy thing about it is that when you accept one, somebody sends you somebody throws a snowball at you and you go back. When you go to do something back, it says allow. And then if you read some more, it says, please allow this application access to all your private information.
Your social security number and PIN to your bank account. Thank you. Yeah, I the really bad. First of all, I don't care about allowing. That's not so much a big deal for me. I don't think. The only thing is like when it's something that's bad and dumb, I don't want to accept it. Like is it like the snowballs or the
you won't accept the snowball,
the little green patches or all that stuff.
You don't accept them.
I couldn't care less. The only person that I feel like I have to accept them from are my wife. Okay. When my wife sends me like a hug request, like shut up,
tell it
homo.
To stop, please tell it to stop.
Yeah, but what about getting a pillow fight request from a dude? Like I keep getting the same guy each week.
I think that's adorable.
And like a pillow fight request from a guy.
That's adorable. I think that's
because what he's doing is he's selecting all the people to get his ultimate pillow. I guess if you do like 60 plus people in a day,
or maybe he's harping on the fact that you're a bit homophobic, yeah. And he's doing it intentionally because he knows it's getting a rise out of you.
I'm going to have to block him,
Rob. Will you please accept my mustache ride application, please? Please.
Awesome. I have a friend of mine, Doug. He got big into Kickmania. And it was
fantastic.
It's
application.
It's addicting. It really is. Whatever.
Yeah, for those that don't know, basically what you do is you kick a body with your friend's faces superimposed on them as far as you can, and whoever kicks a particular people the furthest, you know, I don't know, wins cash prizes. No, they just like get to put their name up like at the arcade machine.
You get a boot. You could buy a boot. All different types of. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, I love it.
I would love to be able to go through this in 20 seconds. I have one event invitation, one hug request, three cause invitations, one birthday request, one Monty Python gift request, one James Bond gift request, one famous monster art request, one drinking request, one vendetta request,
Wait, hold on. Famous monster art? Come on.
What is it?
It's a picture of
Frankenstein drew something pretty.
One ghetto snacks request, one addicted to Nip Tuck invitation, four group invitations, one what drug are you request, one petition, one your sexy request, one mafia wars, one car madness, one oi the gift application request, one drinking request, one that just says one request, one kick mania, one New York souvenirs, one wrestling, and one snowball.
Thank God I got out.
I'm going to bet that it's all one person, considering you only got one request of each. It's like one person just went crazy and did like 1,000 things to you.
It's about 5 people, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you ever think about denying or like ignoring or accepting, or are you just going to let them build?
No, they've been letting them build. Some of these have been like since I first started regularly going on. By the way, Chris, tell your wife I'm sorry. I'm going to get around to it.
Oh, well, the hug requests. She's hugging you like crazy. She can't stop.
Some of these.
Well, Chris, what are you accepting out of all of those? Did you accept any one of those that Keith has on his list?
I didn't keep track. I'm sure I did. I'll tell you honestly, the thing that I don't like to accept are the causes.
I feel bad. Those are the ones I feel worse.
And
believing.
I feel bad for the people that are sending me the causes. Like I want you guys to understand. I'm really not pro dog fighting. I'm really not pro breast cancer. I'm really not pro.
That's not what your application list tells me.
Oh, so that's true. Like it doesn't mean I'm for. I just want to hang out and, I don't know,
lurking.
Like, I want to know how sad you are and read crazy things about you and look at pictures of someone who's, you know, an ex-girlfriend, see that she's fat now, you know? Like, stuff like that's what I want to do.
And in the chat room, Spickle is saying, no world champion Phillies request. No, I did not get that, but now that I'm looking at the list, I thank you, Spickle, for the Your Sexy request. That's who sent it to me.
Oh, man, look, I can't even believe this. Norkel Murph and Spickle are both complaining in the Heroes Talk Room that I don't accept their cause stuff. Whatever, guys.
Well, isn't this just like a sports team, like the Mets and the Yankees? Shouldn't you just pick one social networking site that you always go on? Why should people be allowed to go on the, you know, all different kinds?
I consider myself the Bo Jackson. I go back and forth. I'm a two-sport player. Yeah. I go back and forth between Facebook and MySpace, no problem. I still dig MySpace. As much as you say that its popularity is waning, I'm a big fan.
But he's saying it like they're two different teams. If you're two-sport, that means you're choosing like social networking sites and going to a bar. That's like two sports.
Okay, all right. So then I'm like, that doesn't exist. I play for two teams. I play for both teams.
I heard that about you.
Because they are two different things, two totally entire different things. No?
I can't even tell.
I just got a Your Radio Partner Plays for Two Different Teams application request.
Sweet. You're so lucky. So lucky. Yeah, I'm telling you, I love it, and I love it, and it's, I'm still addicted to the Facebook. But, and by the way, I love that I say it like my grandmother, the Facebook that you're on with the Facebook. But there's some interesting news that was uncovered this week by The Consumerist. You guys familiar with the website The Consumerist?
Yes.
Okay, The Consumerist is saying this week, is now pointing out when you sign up for Facebook – you know when you first signed up, you guys remember back in the good old days when they had like all the little fine print that you were supposed to sign or whatever at the end, and you clicked yes to accept because you had to get to kicking somebody or giving hugs or, you know, stopping dog fights or whatever it is that you were going to do. If you would have actually read that fine print, you would have found out that everything that you upload to Facebook now belongs to Facebook. Meaning every picture, every song, everything that you put up there, they are allowed to use your image and sell wherever they want. And I don't know, you're just screwed. They can actually use your photo in an advertisement for anything that they choose
great.
They could even sell it to somebody. They could do anything with it, and it's I don't know, it's great.
I wish we could get some advertisements that they really did sell that the person didn't know about. That would be great. That would be – because imagine you just in a Valtrex ad on the subway.
Exactly,
one day.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, like AIDS any sort of like disease that you have or like that you play the part of like a – like if there's a picture of you with your friends like messing around fighting like and, you know, they put it up there like that you're a gay basher. Like, you know, stop gay bashing. You know, like that would be fantastic.
You know, me, you know, they snap a picture of me waving, like, hello to somebody, and all of a sudden, like, I'm, like, goose-stepping, you know, Sieg Heiling to some Nazi regime.
They could actually just take that picture off of your MySpace, though, you know, the one of you there.
That's why I got rid of it.
Yeah, I got news for you. It doesn't make a difference. Even if you delete your account, everything you've ever uploaded to Facebook, they still own it. It belongs to them. It's done. You've forfeited your rights to it.
That toilet picture of me now, can they be used for like some Ex-Lax commercial or
exactly.
something?
Exactly. The picture of you on a toilet in Crazy Jen's house back in, I don't know how many years ago that was when you went down south and hung out at your Crazy Jen's house. That could be used for some sort of, I don't know, plunger ad or whatever.
Well, you have some risque pictures in yours, Chris, right? You have like you bleeding out of your forehead on your...
Yeah, what's risque about that?
It's funny, though, because I have, like, a few girls that I'm friends with that are just – all they do is just take pictures of themselves constantly. So it would be fun – like, literally 800 photographs of them, like, in a mirror and
– uploaded onto their page. Yeah.
Does that mean I could upload, like the information on my credit card debt? And now Facebook currently owns that now. Like
they have the right to it. I don't think that means that they'll actually pay it for you. I mean, you can
I wonder
try.
If you could ask like where you are, because you know what? When I go on Facebook Wrestler, there's an ad with one of my friends that said she belongs to some karate thing, and it's her in the ad. And I don't even think she knows she's in this ad. That every time I log in, so what are you in right now that you probably don't even know you're on?
That's the point. I have no clue. I have no clue, and I don't know if there's a way to find out. We forfeited those rights when we signed into Facebook.
So our Best in Show logo now belongs to MySpace and Facebook, no?
No, it's strictly Facebook.
This is just Facebook.
It's not MySpace. Apparently, maybe they do. Maybe they own Best in Show Radio now.
Because that's on the My Profile.
You guys are like a brand, and it's not yours anymore. It's no longer your brand.
I guess, I don't know that will that'll actually work out that way. It'll hold up in court for all I know, but who knows? Who knows? Whatever.
You think we could call Facebook up and ask them to be their official radio station?
We could try that. Facebook? We could try that. We might go for that.
Since they own us already?
It could work. You know, I'm thinking it is a good idea anyway that they do own the advertising. Maybe we'll actually update it and actually have, like, you know, all of the people who are on the show instead of just me and Keith in the picture.
See, Doug Bott in the Heroes Talk Room has a good question. Do they own it, or is it just that they can do whatever they want with it? Like, does that mean you no longer own a recording of that song that you did because Facebook now owns it, or does it mean Facebook has equal right to use it?
I'm going to say they have equal right with no knowledge whatsoever, just because that seems more reasonable. I think that makes more sense.
Like they don't have to, if they use, you know, I know a lot of photographers that, you know, are very talented and stuff like that, so... You know, if they happen to put up some photographs of themselves, you know, not even themselves, of something that they shot, they don't have to be – Facebook doesn't have to tell them, hey, we're using this photograph, you know, go screw. They could just use it.
Okay, so then I guess that's the angle we'll go with then, and I guess it makes sense.
I would assume they have that right.
They could use it, but they don't own it. So it's not like Facebook is going to sue us for using our own logo that we posted on their site. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Well, then why would anyone put anything up there?
Why? I don't know. Liverspot has the right idea. He's only going to post photos on Facebook that he steals from other people on Facebook, which I think is a great idea.
No, that's not yours now. It's Facebook's.
I can't even believe it.
But that was my high school reunion, dude.
No, you didn't. Yeah. You actually, they took away your high school diploma now. As a result, you're no longer. Haven't graduated high school.
Yahoo's going to buy Facebook anyway.
But what difference is that going to make, though, you think?
Well, it puts it in the whole Yahoo application thing and Mabob, and it all changes once one of these big guys get a hold of it, you know, a decent application.
Yeah, but it like the guy Tom with MySpace, I mean, he made a fortune, you know, and I think, did Google buy them, MySpace? Somebody bought MySpace, and he made out like a band of that guy, yeah. So he could kill us.
Rupert Murdoch.
Okay.
Now he's rich as a result from buying it.
now he's got a media empire.
I don't know. It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy concept that, you know, just putting stuff up here that they take it and it no longer belongs to you anymore. But if you really think about it, if you go, I guess, with the whole argument of like why Napster said Napster should exist and why like music pirates think it's okay to exist, like, do we really own any of this imagery or art anyway? What difference does it make?
I guess outside of like small legal entanglements, no.
I mean, it's not like you're going to really make money off of these photos. Like, if the picture of me bleeding in front of the Nassau Coliseum that is on Facebook, I'm never going to make any money off of that. If Facebook somehow is going to turn it into an ad, I mean, I guess it's a shame that I'm not going to get the money. But it wasn't like I was going to do anything with it.
I was going to ask you for a print.
I have 8x10s in the car. I'll sign one for you later. But yeah, it seems like an odd thing to even own anything. It's the same thing like with music, which why it's fine in my opinion to steal music,
especially when digital music, like when you can just duplicate something and the original is still there. Like, you don't have to hand your CD to somebody. Like, you just make a copy, an identical copy of something, and now you're cloning it, basically.
I love it.
And now there's just two of them.
Well, you're not even, technically, if you really think about it, you don't even have the music in the first place. So that music that you have is just a series of ones and zeros on a hard drive. That's,
aren't we all?
That's replicating something. But I'm saying, like, in all honesty, that's really what it is. It's not the same thing as, like, you're not taking, like, a real live recording. You're making a computer duplicate that sound.
You're doing when you have a CD anyway, right? It's just you're using some sort of hardware for it.
I don't really understand. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Are you guys scientists?
Yes, obviously. Look, I'm wearing my lab coat.
Well, what about whatever's said on the show? Does it belong to the show? Does the show own it? Like, somebody calls in.
Our program?
Yes, says a story on our program. Do we then now own that story?
I don't.
Will we replay that? I think so. And, you know, use it in certain, you know, other bits and things like that?
I sure hope not. I sure hope that's not the case, because then we can get in trouble for all the stuff that we rip off on a weekly basis if that was the case. That would be disappointing to me.
You guys should have a disclaimer on your site.
Don't listen to the show. It stinks.
Don't type a thing. Don't call, because we own it. Whatever you say, we own.
Exactly.
It.
Everything in the chat room right now, we own. Right now, Dougbot's saying, you like CDs, CDs nuts. I actually now own that, CDs nuts.
Wait, did I set that? I wrote that joke.
Good stuff, though.
But
it's a wonderful, little thing. So Facebook, enjoy yourself, and everyone enjoy Facebook. It's bestinshow.com here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with your ears, place to be. You want to be a part, you can. 877-444-6405. Instant Messenger, Pal Talk, all that jazz. What's going on, Fred?
Nothing. On Saturday, I guess it was Valentine's Day. Ooh. Went out with the lady.
Congratulations.
It was nice.
Did you just say you guess?
Yeah. I'm guessing it was Saturday. I forgot what day it really was. It could have been Friday, but I think it was Saturday.
Okay.
And go out for some sushi, and it was a nice time. Just me and the girl are chilling. And we just get to talking about, you know, love.
Maybe get hitched one day?
No, come on. I made an honest woman out of her.
Okay.
Just talking about, you know, love and sex and, like, how many people are having sex today. You know, everybody. We're looking at, like, the people in the restaurant. We're like, you know, these people are having sex right now.
No, how are they doing that in the restaurant? This is disgusting.
You know, we're just
sushi, no less. On this, so.
And we're just thinking
fishy smell?
Just thinking about all the people that are doing it. And then we're trying to think it. We're thinking, like, think of the grossest person that's doing it, which I'm thinking in my head. And I'm just thinking, like, physical gross. Like, I'm thinking Chris. I'm thinking Keith. I'm thinking my brother.
Grossest couple or grossest people?
Just people. Well, I'm thinking grossest people, like, physically. But my wife is now giving different names, like a name of our our
Barack
friend,
Obama.
A name of a friend of ours who's like kind of good looking. And I'm like, why did she pick that person? Then she picks like
Brad Pitt.
Like
ew.
Another person that's kind of good looking. And I'm like, what is she basing this on? Like,
was I either one of those people?
The grossness. No, you weren't one of the people.
Damn it.
You're one of my people, though.
Oh, see, I wanted to be the other way around.
Jeez, but nice. I was picking physical aspects. But my wife was picking.
I think
like,
I'm a pretty good looking guy. What the? I'm a little offended.
My wife was picking like males that were like asexual, that had no sexuality. She was picking like. Then she said Brian's name, and I was like, wait a minute, you wouldn't want to see Brian out of all the people having sex. She's like, yeah, he's probably the guy on the show that I wouldn't want to see having sex. And I said, why?
Whoa! Repeat what you just said.
I said. My girl said she would want to see Brian the least.
That's not what you said. You said he is the one on the show that she wouldn't want to see.
Wouldn't want to see, yes.
So what you are saying is then that your wife wants to see me and Keith and Bobby G going out.
Preferably together.
Obviously.
Well, we were
triumvirate.
We were talking about the worst. I was like, well, why not Brian? You know, he's kind of a semi-looking guy. And she was like, he just oozes like asexuality. He doesn't have like a sexuality, like a sexual side.
Yes, I would like you to spread your legs now. Now I will be inserting. Yes, I am finishing. Thank you.
Like, he doesn't even joke around about sex. He does, you know what I mean? I don't think he... And then I could come to think of it, like, I don't remember ever having a conversation about sex, just even fooling around with him.
Well, it is a little creepy to have a serious conversation about sex with another dude, I think, a little bit.
Really?
You don't think a little bit? A little bit.
I don't know.
If you're having a problem, you can't go to Keith. If you're having a problem in bed, you just go to Keith, say, what can I do to help it?
What am I going to do? What problem am I going to have?
Get on your knees, Keith.
Keith, what am I supposed to do with this? Which part goes where? Could you give me a diagram?
I'm saying if you're having a problem in bed, say it's not your problem, and you wouldn't go to a friend of yours and see if you know they could give you any advice.
I mean, you have to give me an idea. I mean, it's not for a matter of embarrassment because I don't necessarily care. I just don't know what I would ask a friend. Like, what could you ask a friend about this?
Well, like, I think I know what you're saying. It's more of like, has this ever happened to you? Type of thing, you know,
say you're a little impotent for like a week or two, and you're a little scared. You go to up.
I'd probably go to a doctor before
whiskey
I go to a friend.
D. You never had whiskey D?
Of
whiskey
course, D. But I've never asked anybody about it.
But before going, of course,
I've tried to shove the limp thing in there, tried to wake it up, and it hasn't worked.
That happened Saturday.
Before going to the doctor, you're not going to maybe consult your partner and maybe a friend of yours. Like, has this ever happened to you? What could I do? Maybe your father? You wouldn't even go to your father for some advice?
Dad, come here. Dad, stick your finger up my ass and see if you can help me out a little bit. This isn't working for me.
Take my temperature.
Get my dad on the phone. Dad.
So impotency, you wouldn't go to a friend?
I don't think I would go to a friend and tell him I was impotent.
Okay, so how about you're not getting it for a couple of months? You're not going to go to a friend for that?
What? No, I don't want to have sex with my friends. What am I going to say to her? Bro, I haven't had any for a couple of months. Come here, help me out. I don't understand what you... And again, it's not for a sense of embarrassment. It's just like, I don't know what you would... Like, what are you going to say? Bro, my girl isn't doing it with me. Could you hold her down while I take care of things? Like, what exactly...
I mean, I've done that to female friends where I've been like, you know, it's been a few months, you know, could you help me out a little?
Brian would be like, Dad, my...
Toot-toot.
...isn't working...
But isn't it like more of a, I guess it's a, you're just getting it off your chest in a way. I guess they're not looking for advice, but you're kind of venting. You're not going to go to a friend and vent about it. They're not going to, of course, hold the girl down or get you a date with somebody else. But I'm talking about maybe the venting aspect.
I suppose. I guess it doesn't cross my mind to go that route. I keep things like that generally either bottled up or done on the radio shows. You know, like, listen, I'm going to do that.
Lone wolf.
This is also why I'm seeing a therapist now, is because I don't talk to people. But
you never asked, bro. What is this,
bro? I don't understand. Like, what could you possibly ask?
You ever have this thing on your? You ever have this wart,
bro? Squeeze this thing. Does that feel right to you?
Okay,
is that a third testicle?
The first time before you ever had anal sex, you never went to a friend and asked a friend, like, how do you do it? Where do you stick it?
Where? In case you missed it, where was the last question he asked?
Where? Okay, at my place, bro. I got a back room that you could use. Come by. Yeah, I would never ask, hey, when I want to put it in a girl's ass, where do I put it? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand where the question is.
Keith, you never ask a friend? You never go confront a...
No. I'm sorry.
You know, I think that always, with me, not that I've asked, but it always ends up as like a story that's told, and then someone will chime in and have a similar experience, you know. It's not more, hey, like, you know, I couldn't get it up last night because I had too much to drink. It was more like, this is the story I'm telling, and, oh, yeah, that happened to me once before, too, and this is how it went, and, you know.
It's by the way, Liver Spot is saying in the Heroes Talk Room, he thought he was listening to Hear Us Talk, not Hear Us Homos Talk. He's got a little confused.
Hey.
Oh. Yeah, I would never think, but so you were thinking about people doing it, and thinking about stuff like that, and,
thinking about people doing it, Brian, asexual. And I was thinking about, you know, what would you guys, do on Valentine's Day? Anything?
Oh, I was asexual for Valentine's Day.
Really?
No, for Valentine's Day, I had big plans to go out to a fine restaurant on Staten Island, actually. Ooh. Like the restaurant of the year last year, Dosey Cafe. Our buddy Duke runs the place. And my daughter has an ear infection and 100-something or other fever. So I didn't go. I stood home. I ordered in from Trattoria Romana and had some zuppa de mussels on my living room couch.
When? What did you just say?
I said like four Italian things in a row, right? A gabagoo, gabagoo. I put some gabagoo, gabagoo.
So the baby was in bed all night, though?
No, she was laying on the couch. She was hanging out. I mean, she was functioning. She was all loaded up on pills and stuff. But we were originally going to, you know, it was 4 days in at that point to her infection. So we thought by that point, she'll probably be okay to go to my mother-in-law's house.
Amex didn't take your kid back yet?
What's that?
Amex took your kid.
No, not yet. Oh. Not yet. I still got a hold of her. But, yeah, so we thought we were going to do that, but she's like a big mush ball, so we wound up just staying home. You know, I ordered food from
romantic.
From a place on Staten Island. Basically, ate and went to sleep.
That's a good night, though. Wouldn't you have rather have done that anyway? Were you looking forward to going out?
I was looking forward to going to Dos Cafe. I was very excited about it. I've been meaning to go since it's opened, and I haven't gone yet. And like I said, it's my friend's, you know, my friend runs the place, and I haven't been there yet.
It's actually really, I haven't eaten there yet, but I was there recently. It was a really beautiful place. I was never in there before.
What'd you end up doing, Keith? Anything?
I just stayed home.
That's it? You didn't cook dinner? Wasn't romantical?
Every day is romance for Keith.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not really a big Valentine's Day fan, you know. I think Valentine's Day for too many people is like make up for the rest of the year day, you know what I mean? Like,
really?
Hey, I like you today. Day, you know, like it's
Is that a day where people should like each other?
That's a day where people like stop hating each other for a few minutes.
That, you know? Birthdays?
Like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's like Valentine's Day to romance, if you will, is what like New Year's Eve is to hanging out and having fun. You know, it's like it's like an excuse to do something that, like, I don't know, you should probably be doing anyway.
Walter Sobchak says in the Pal Talk Group, Valentine's Day is amateur night. It's amateur night.
Yeah. But if you're not doing it, I don't know. But I'm expecting sex at least on Valentine's Day. Do you know what I mean? If you're not getting the
sad
sex,
sad little world you live in.
Definitely. I mean, you can't go through Valentine's Day without doing it.
Well, what did you go? You guys went. You said you had sushi, but what did you do romantic other than eat sushi? Like, that's really, you know, is that really romantic, eating sushi?
I got my wife roses and like candies. You know what I mean? Okay. And I didn't really.
Did you throw? You go home and throw makeouts? Is what I guess we want to find out.
And I got her. I guess I got her the roses and candy.
It's irrelevant. Did you go home and throw makeouts? That's all I care about, bro.
We did it the morning of Valentine's Day.
So you were done by like 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, you 11:30 in the morning, and there was nothing else going on at that point. No more action.
2 p.m.
Then after.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Well, kidding. She asked what I wanted for Valentine's Day, and I was like, I just want you to put on a sexy outfit, and you know, we're gonna make love. That's all I really want.
You're so gay sometimes.
Really. I gotta say,
you really said make love.
No, of course not.
And did you tell her to put the sexy outfit on? The one you didn't get her?
Yes, I told her. But she picked the sexy outfit on her own. Like, there's a couple of them. She actually threw out my favorite sexy outfit without me knowing, and I was kind of bummed about that.
Why?
I don't know. She just didn't like it.
Oh, really?
It was a really hoary look sexy outfit, too. It was pretty hoary.
Well, you know.
But if I didn't get it, I would be bummed.
Whore is the new black.
I mean, I don't want to say that like I didn't like do anything. Like I completely, you know, like ignored the holiday. Like I sent my girlfriend flowers actually the night before,
you know. Like
Happy
that.
February 13th, baby. Happy February
13th. It was Happy Friday the 13th, you know.
Exactly. You know, I figure when we go out tonight, we see that new Jason flick, baby. Me and you.
Midnight, the new midnight. Jason flick. Yes.
It's my favorite friggin' day of the year.
So I sent the flowers, and I did get her, like, a gift. Like, we exchanged, like, cards and, like, you know, Valentine's Day gifts and, like... But, you know, it's just, like, it's not, like, I guess it's not an overboard thing for me.
What were the gifts? Not, like, just candies and stuff? Any dolls?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying.
Oh, come on. There's a doll in there? A couple of bears? What kind of doll?
Yeah, a little, there was some, There might
a real doll.
There might have been some animals slash characters of stuffed variety involved.
Wow, you're so 16 and in love. It's fantastic.
Wait a minute. So he's saying he sent in bears or something?
Yes.
Little teddy bears?
What's wrong with that? He got a, what do you call that? The teddygram? Not teddygram.
Actually, one of them was a little teddy bear thing, and the other one was like a little stuffed alien.
Oh, look at you.
There's no way to go with that. I'm just stating fact.
But you feel obligated. You have to do those sort of things, right? You have to.
Well, because I feel bad, like, thinking, like, well, you know, like, every day should be romantic, so I'm just going to ignore it, but, you know.
Every day's a winding road is what I've always thought. I was taught that some time ago.
You don't give a gift to your wife, Chris? She's not bugging out?
Of course I give a gift to my wife. But my wife's birthday is also February 14th.
Oh, boy.
So I have to give her the birthday and Valentine's gift, which generally...
It can't be two in one, right?
And I'm also giving for me and my daughter. So I have to give her four gifts
really?
That same day.
Is it necessary?
No, I give her two gifts.
Your daughter doesn't get your wife lingerie?
She gives her the lingerie, and I get World's Best Mom. T-shirts. I would give her.
You can't give her 12 roses and be like, "Happy birthday, Happy Valentine's Day."
Just three roses.
Merry Christmas.
Happy birthday, Happy Valentine's Day. One extra. See ya. Now it was. You know, I give her a gift. You know, a Valentine's / birthday for me and a Valentine's / birthday for my daughter.
Okay, but you feel obligated. You have to do it. Say it wasn't on her birthday. Say it wasn't a birthday.
I couldn't say. I don't know. I probably would. I guess.
Totally. You got it, Rob. What happened?
Well, my plans kind of fell through this weekend. I wound up supposed to go away, but I didn't. And Thursday, I wound up helping my buddy.
Romantic.
Yeah. So I still was tied up Thursday and Friday, but Saturday I actually went to work on Valentine's Day because it was real busy. And I picked up porterhouse steaks. I threw them on the barbecue. I was, like, out there with my winter jacket on grilling, but ain't nothing better than a nice porterhouse steak. So, like, that to me is love. That to me shows love.
It's very romantic.
Wait, you made yourself a steak? That showed love?
Hey.
I
made my wife a steak, too.
I know. She could have some. I gave her a bite. Yeah, but I don't understand. Okay, but because that's your favorite thing is why you're...
No,
why
my wife likes a slab of meat now and again, too.
I was going to say, but is porterhouse is your favorite, though, or is it her favorite, too?
No, it's her favorite.
Okay, too. Okay. That's what I was asking.
So, and then, I mean, I'm not a big card guy. I don't know about you guys, but I can't stand receiving cards.
Chaz runs a game every Thursday night. He thought he was counting the ways.
I just feel like I have to throw them out immediately because I don't know what to do with them. And then you feel bad after a while. See, if you get rid of them immediately, you don't feel as bad when you come up on them like a month or two later. But I normally don't like getting my wife too many cards, so I got her the biggest card I can find. It was like 3 foot by like 2 feet wide. Just because I don't like giving cards.
Making my own cards.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have wedding invitation cards that I never send that I still have from like a year and a half ago. I have the card and I never like mailed it back to... I'm not a big fan of cards either.
You never mailed back a wedding
invitation? No, so I would get a phone call like 2 weeks before like, so are you coming? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming. Well, are you going to mail that back? No, I threw it out. But meanwhile, it's sitting right there. It's sitting right there by my wallet.
That is horrible.
Wait, how much does a stamp cost? 49 cents?
No, they usually send you, like it has a return envelope.
And you cut that off of there and tape it onto whatever you're going to send out later. That's what I say. That's what I think is good.
And then I mail like,
on birthdays, I usually get like happy bar mitzvah cards for my friends and things like that because you just go in. It's so easy buying birthday cards when you just go in a store and pick anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
Well, like happy 80th birthday.
Exactly. Anything. Just cross words out, rewrite other words in there, and make it your own.
My buddy Joe, who called in last week to talk about things, that's what he used to do. Is he used to take his old Christmas cards and just cross things out in it and just like write your name on it. It was my favorite thing in the world. Like a thing from his grandmother to his mother with both their names crossed out. And I said, Chris, you're old.
You know, Fred does always make cards, but they're never that creative. It's always like a tree in a house and like happy birthday above it. And you're like, oh,
it's just something stupid.
No, yeah, but I'd rather that.
Yeah, why waste $2 for a damn card?
A few years ago, you sent a great card of your daughter. I think it was a holiday card.
Christmas cards are the only cards that we send.
Amazing. And it was just so your daughter was in like a dungeon. And she wasn't smiling or anything. She was just standing there like, yes, it was amazing. What is this?
It's a festive holiday gift.
So amazing.
Yeah, we send out holiday cards that don't have anything to do with Santa Claus or reindeer or snow or anything like that. Just like, you know.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. I used to take the pressure off buying cards for like friends. Like if I had to, for some reason, like buy a card for an occasion and like finding one. Like if it was for a wedding or something, I would always try to find something like completely unrelated, just like, you know, like a happy third birthday card or something, just, you know, like as a way to avoid having to find something, like, you know, to having to find something that's saying what I want to say.
Totally.
Which brings me to this. Do you, like, if you're buying a card, like Valentine's Day is a perfect example. Do you, if you're buying a card, do you buy the serious card and the funny card? Do you do, because a lot of people do that, or do you, like, honestly, I bought my girlfriend a card that was like it had a robot on it, and it was just like it actually turned out it was kind of like a dirty card, which I didn't realize because I saw the robot and grabbed it, but it's I don't buy like the oh, this is what I think of you card, because I can, like, you know, I don't need somebody to like put those words into my mouth. But, like, do you do that? Do you go for the serious, like, ever since the day I met you?
I get a card that says, thanks for having that abortion. So it's kind of funny and serious at the same time, because I really am thankful.
I'll always go for the funny before the sentimental.
But they're never really that funny. You know what I mean? Like, if you are shopping for a card, you're going to spend – it happens to me all the time. You're like, oh, I got to get this card. So you end up spending like 15, 20 minutes in there, and then you start reading through cards, and you're like, wow, this is really like a warm, like heartfelt card. And you're like, I'm going to get it because I'd rather not say it.
That's really cool.
I'm
serious. Well, because I think it's because I'm spending time in there, and now I'm reading through all these cards, and all the funny cards really aren't that funny.
You can't tell mommy that you love her for Mother's Day? You need a card to say that?
Come on, really? Do I have to say it?
Do you actually?
Ma, read it, all right?
Exactly. Please. Ma, it should be implied.
I don't want to waste my breath.
Ma, this may or may not be how I feel.
Yeah, I don't even get cards. I don't even buy cards for anybody. Like I said, outside of the Christmas cards, which you're kind of obligated to do, I guess, and by me being obligated, I mean my wife wants to do them every year. I would never even bother with them. Couldn't care less.
I had a faux pas buying a card for Valentine's Day. Actually, my daughter wanted to buy her cousins Valentine's Day cards. That one's three, one's five. So I go in Party City, we're in there anyway. I'm like, you know, I don't feel like buying cards. It's on Valentine's Day. It's the worst time to go in a card store. So I just take these two. My daughter likes dogs. I take two dog cards. I don't even read them. Get them home. My wife opens it up and goes, you know how I like to beg for it. This is going to the five-year-old, not the three-year-old. It was going to the five-year-old. But, yeah, I was like, oh, God. She goes, you didn't read this, did you? I said, no, she likes dogs. So, yeah.
That's the danger. Sometimes those funny, cute-looking cards are like dirty cards, and they're mixed in with like the regular, like humorous cards.
The dog has an erection. He's on his back. You know what I mean? You got to look at the fine print in that card, Rob.
But are you the type of person to buy a card and write something sentimental in it? That's the thing. Like if I buy a funny card, I'm just letting the words do the talking. I'm not writing anything in that card.
My grandmother loves to buy the card that has that sentimental thing, but then underlines the important stuff that she needs you to know. It would be so much better like she put a highlighter and actually highlighted it. But she underlines like crazy, and then on top of it, like, has to put her own little paragraph on the side about what the Lord's thoughts are. Because,
oh, really? She has a little sermon in that, too.
Oh, my grandma's a Eucharistic minister. She's a maniac. Wow.
Vanessa was just saying in the chat room, her grandmother sends her three-page cards with certain things underlined.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I didn't catch that. But that's exactly what my grandmother does. was like underlining things. Because my grandmother and I have a kind of a an interesting relationship that I refuse to go to our house anymore because I hate certain members of my family that live there. So she'll always send me cards like with the prodigal son bit, you know, bits in it, like underlined, like, you better come home, like an old crap like that, like whatever.
Come over, please. Not coming.
Go visit your grandma.
Yeah, she can come to my house. Door's open.
How old is she? She wheeling herself over there?
Not 70s.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, she's in the 70s. She's young. You know, she's going running any day now.
Be an adult and go see your grandma.
I am being an adult. I see my grandma all the time. I just won't go to her house. So I'll make she has to come to my house.
I gotcha. Okay. Sorry. So I'm sorry. I got a little.
You touched your nerve a little bit. Touched a little nerve.
I apologize.
That's all right. You don't have to. It's fine. That's what it's all
it's
about.
Your show.
It really is Brian sitting there, isn't it? Son of a bitch.
But I can definitely not get my feelings across through through writing. You know, I can barely get my feelings across through talking.
I'm a pretty awful writer myself.
How do you communicate the best?
Actually,
grunts. Grunts and gifts of beer.
But, yeah, no, I'd rather let the card do the talking. I agree with you, Fred.
Yeah. Well, what's your best form of communication, you think, Chris? Do you think you're a better talker or writer? How do you communicate the best?
I would assume it would have to be talking, I think. But the thing is, I don't communicate well. I express myself well with words, but I don't necessarily communicate because communication would entail that I listen a lot, and I really don't. And, you know, as much as I'm not even trying to make a joke, like, I know that I'm not good.
So you're a better writer, probably.
I guess.
Were going to communicate.
But do you have a problem, like openly telling someone how you feel about them?
No. No, like I said, I can express myself. I have no problem. I could definitely talk, or I could write to someone. I can express, but it's not the open lines of communication I don't have.
Mm-hmm. See, I think I'm pretty good at that. Like I'm good at expressing. I think I'm good at. Well, I guess I'm good at expressing my feelings verbally. Not, you know, I'm not going to write them, but I don't know. Help me, somebody.
You're not very good at expressing.
I think you do. I think you do a great job. I think the message is clear.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Right to the point.
Wow, I can't even believe that it's being suggested that I express myself the best through the majesty of song, as it is being told to me in instant messages.
Well, how was the? You had to express yourself a couple of days ago, right, to your doctor. You're a psychoanalyst.
Trinka.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were necessarily going to talk about this. I didn't think we were going to talk about this. You know, maybe we're not. We're actually not going to talk about this.
Really? Oh, come on.
I'm really interested in this.
Boo to you.
What? I don't even understand what you're talking about.
So what did you guys talk about?
You're sandbagging me, and there's actually a point why I don't want to talk about this yet. I'm going to talk later in the show.
He's driving, Fred. He's driving.
And what about you, Keith? How do you communicate the best? Do you think you're a better writer? Or do you
it depends on who I'm talking to.
I love that Chris just left. He's leaving now.
He's gone. It all honestly depends on who it is I'm talking to. Like I can tell my girlfriend, like I can express anything to her. I'm comfortable talking to her.
How about just a regular and a friend too?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much for the most part. Writing is always easier because you're not face to face. You know, like I guess writing, yeah, it's the whole idea that you don't have to be face to face if it's something uncomfortable for some reason that you're talking about. But
a couple of silver spoons.
What?
No, sorry, you and I face to face a couple of silver spoons. That's all I thought about.
Actually, it's funny this comes up because I feel I'm good at expressing myself verbally, but it also. You don't have that when you write. You're able to think it out more. So when I'm just speaking to somebody, you know, verbally, sometimes you either leave something out that is really poignant, or you say something maybe that you don't, you know, maybe you don't say it properly. That if you were writing it out, you would be able to express it a lot better, or at least like hash it out, you know, and be like, okay, I got to rephrase this because it sounds. It doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. So that's where I usually get into trouble, is that I'd rather speak to you and tell you how I feel, but more than likely I'm going to say something stupid or...
But the difference is you could say something that could be interpreted as being stupid and say, oh, you mistook what I said, whereas if you write it, there's a permanent record forever of what you've said.
Good point. But what you said, you don't get the inflections. Like, you could say something serious, but you were only joking around, maybe, you know, cutting your, you know.
Sarcasm doesn't
translate in text, I guess.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. And now that I haven't been writing songs, I used to write songs all the time, and that was a great form of communication, or just like a good form of just getting stuff off your chest. And now I don't do that anymore, and I feel like I'm communicating horribly. I do the show. The main reason why I do the show is to try to like work on my communication skills with, you know, the people in my life. I would barely ever talk if I didn't have the show.
I don't necessarily believe in your communication skills. I don't believe that what you do on the show necessarily is your true self all the time. I don't know how much of it is you putting on as much as it is some of it is really you.
It's all putting on, because I would have nothing to say about anything. Do you know what I mean? The fact that I'm just talking and, you know, making up an opinion or, you know, have an opinion, you know, I would never really verbalize that in the real world.
I love that. I really like hanging out with my brother a lot. I really do. I enjoy hanging out with such a way. You hate being around me, I think. I swear.
You think
No,
you?
I don't think you hate being around me. I think that you'd rather be home. You'd rather be home hanging out with me than anywhere else.
Oh, that makes me sad.
No, it is half kidding. I'm half kidding.
Did you guys fight a lot when you were younger?
We kind of did. When we were really young, we were good friends. But then I think once, like, we kind of, well, you know, he's older. So I think once you had puberty, you know, I think we used to fight a lot, but not really. It was more of like we just left each other alone.
Yeah, it was always the rule, never hit in the face. You never hit anybody in the face. That was the rule in the household.
Fred, you used to get your ass kicked, right?
Oh, definitely. Come on, look at this animal.
No, he had like an older brother thing over me, though, where it...
he you told know, you're not like, allowed to hit back.
I don't know how he got that one off, but no. But he, like, if, you know, we'd be fooling around. You see, we're always about the same size, but he always had, like, this older brother power over me. Like, it was almost like a retard strength. Like, he was able to turn it on somehow.
Like, you're a manipulator.
But I can't believe that we've turned out to be such good friends. I didn't think we would be such good friends when we got older, but we are. It's weird how things like that happen.
Aw, you and I face-to-face, a couple of silver spoons.
Really?
Look at UNITY.
How old's your brother, Keith?
He's
much older than me.
He's 4 years older than me.
4 years. Did you guys fight a lot, too?
Yeah, probably. But not like anything serious, just constant bickering.
It wasn't like Brian fights where you're taking like bats with nails.
Oh, yeah, no. Not like constant fist fights and like attempted murder style. Totally. Brian stuff.
This was like, you know, we'd pretend we were wrestlers and it would get serious. You know, nothing. This would be the outline right now. We pretend we were something. We would get into a fight. Somebody would get a good shot in, and then it would turn real. Then, like, that playing would turn into a real fight. And then that's how every fight started.
That's true.
Every fight. That's how I think every brother fight starts. You know, you begin playing, and then somebody gets that good shot in, and you get pissed off.
Well, you know, or it's just a miss hit. Like, you know, you meant to hit, you know, the arm, but you hit the
jaw. I meant to hit your throat and accidentally hit you in the eye.
Exactly.
I meant to hit you in the shoulder and accidentally stabbed you.
Are you close with your brother, Keith?
Yeah, pretty close.
You guys hang out every now and then, right?
Not so much since he lives in Queens now, but yeah, you know, like, for the most part, talk occasionally. More than occasionally, I should say.
And that's all you have is a brother?
Just one brother, yeah.
No sisters?
No sisters.
No sisters.
Thank God I don't have a sister.
Really?
I had this conversation today about just having a sister's tough. Because I think you'd always feel this, like, oh, you have a daughter. You both have daughters.
It's fine.
I can only imagine what you guys are thinking when they
my daughter's four, you know.
All right, but I'm sure you have to be thinking about, like, you know, when she becomes 14. apparently not.
She's a person. She's a person, and she's going to go through a lot of things that every woman goes through that are things that I don't want to think about my little girl going through, but she's going to. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Someone is going to have sex with my daughter someday. Someone, you know, I mean, it's stuff like that. I don't care. Whatever.
You see, it's funny because I think that you hope you have that open-minded feeling, but when it turns back to you and you're like, wow, I'm really not as open-minded as I thought I was. You know,
I don't want to try and like be like, you know, like I'm running for father of the year. Like you'll get a different perspective when you have a kid.
I'm sure.
You know what? Whatever. She's a person, and she's going to be a person that's going to do things that I think are awful. But whatever. If those are the things that make her happy, so be it. As long as they're not putting her in danger. Or whatever.
But Charlie, you wouldn't want to have a sister because you'd feel like you would have to be the protector.
No. Not so much that. I would just think that I would want not to be that brother, but I think that I wouldn't want to like know her boyfriends and be like, yo, you know, just be honest and be cool and whatever and respect her. And but I think that I probably won't be, you know, I probably will end up being like, this guy's a douche, what are you doing with this asshole, you know. You know, I hope that I wouldn't be, but I feel that I would be.
But there's probably a brother sisterly thing that would be kind of acceptable though. You would probably have the rapport. You would assume that this person would have grown up with you and actually know you and exist right. with you.
I guess it depends on the age difference too.
Yeah, know? I guess. I don't know.
Well, did you kind of have that when your parents got divorced, Chris? Did you have that thing with your mom, like you didn't want to see her? Did you get that like type of defensive type of nature, like did she date afterwards and you were all defensive about the guy that she dated,
settled down with another guy who wound up becoming my stepfather not very long after my dad was
gone. Okay, so there wasn't that period of
I didn't have that in between bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I wound up resenting him for other reasons. But that's I didn't have that discomfort period, I guess, in the middle. It was just it was thrust upon me, the next relationship, so whatever.
What about you, Keith? Did you have that discomfort type of thing?
No, my mom's boyfriend's been around for a while. He's cool. And, you know, like, so it was it wasn't like, you know, a dating. Yeah, like I would think that would be weird to me. Like the mom actively dating guy.
Like, say your mom breaks up with the guy.
But she's an adult. I'm not saying there's anything would be wrong with it. I'm just saying personally it would probably be.
But I'm saying to you personally, don't you realize like she's an adult? What would be the big deal?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to meet the guy. I could see where Keith's coming
from.
He's not
asking you to hold the guy's drink while he pounds her. Like, and, like literally just like knowing like someone dating, like going out to dinner.
I guess it would be the idea of like if it was one guy and like, you know, which I got used to pretty quickly. But if it was like I guess if I had like a classic 80s sitcom dating mom, you know? Like,
yeah, your mom becomes the town, the bar slut now, you know?
Well, I guess that's an extreme version, but...
But yeah, I could see. I would be freaked out, too.
Like, honey, I have a date tonight.
Oh, that's the last thing you want to
hear. And granted, I'm 35 now, so that isn't... I don't live at home, so it's not like it's if I was a kid, but that's got to be like...
Honey, I have a date tonight. It's your friend Chris. Oh. That's what you should be concerned about hearing. It's some guy named Chaz the Dazzler that's coming to pick me up. You know, that would be concerning for you. Why would you care? I don't know.
It's not more scarring than thinking of your mom being violated by some other dude.
It's not violated. She's enjoying herself.
That makes it even worse. Oh.
We're not talking about your mom getting raped. We're talking about your mom going out to dinner. It's a little bit different. Yeah. Whatever.
But it also goes back to, like, if your parents are still together, I guess it's harder to envision that. When somebody, somebody doesn't have the dad there or the original dad or whatever, I think it's a lot easier to understand more. So, like, for you to say, oh, my mom, because, your dad's still around.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think that's really the difference of trying to see if you're okay with it, you know?
Sure, but he cannot be around tomorrow.
I think until it happens and you don't have one, I think that's when...
And who's to say that she's not cheating on him, you know? Yeah. You can never say that.
But it comes down to you know...
Nothing.
I think it comes down to happiness, you know, and wanting happiness. Everybody wants happiness, right?
Sure.
That's why you sing cars.
I really just like torturing myself.
You just like torturing yourself.
I don't know.
Best thing on earth.
Well, you brought it up in there. You started. You brought up the fact as we're talking about expressing ourselves, you know, in card and expressing ourselves in family and all this talk. You mentioned the fact that I went to go see my head shrinker. Last week, who's not even a head shrinker, just a therapist. He's not actually a psychiatrist.
Head looks just as big as it ever was.
Well, I mean, he's got a big task ahead of him. I have a very inflated ego. I have a gigantic
Skeletor.
you would have to do a lot of work to get this.
Skeletor, I think, is better.
Yeah, it's an interesting little thing that I did, and I'm coming around. I'll say I'm coming around on this guy. I'm starting to buy in. for lack of a better term, into the idea of going to the therapist and actually, I don't know, sharing with this guy.
But he's not, does he just like write a prescription right away? Like,
no, 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 he's not a psychiatrist.
Oh,
he's not
a psychologist.
No, he's a mental health therapist.
Oh, okay.
He's a therapist, and he actually talks to me. And I gotta be honest, I'm really early and really new into this thing. It's only my second visit, and I told him the first time I went to him, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is the deal for me. I don't know what I'm trying to get out of this whole thing. But you know, I have, and I'm signing up. And, you know, I threw myself in full, you know, full fledged, and said, "Hey, let's go for it. Let's give it a shot and see what's happening."
That's I've thought about it, but I don't know what I don't think I want to know.
What's your therapist? What's your therapist book username?
His Facebook account. Yeah, you know his Facebook account is? I'm not quite sure. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this? I don't hear you. Okay, then I guess he's not.
So what went on, Chris?
I don't know. Well, we talked. We talked. Like I said, the thing that
hour session or half hour?
Half hour. First of all,
being an adult, do an hour.
No, it's not to me. That's what he has. That's what he has. Well, you go talk to your grandma. Go talk to your grandma and go for an hour.
Is that what he said for a half hour?
No, it was interesting. It was, like I said, this is, you know, I'm saying as I'm talking to him, I feel like I kind of, I take a lot of things for granted as I'm talking to him. I say like things and I start like just rattling stuff. I'm like, oh, well, you know. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's right. You don't know me at all. But some, like, there's a certain level of comfort that I get with the guy. There's a certain, that I was totally cool talking to him, and it was a cool deal. And I guess this week at the end of the session, after not talking at all about relationships, not talking about anything specific, let's say, he ends the session with, well, yeah, I think maybe your homework this, you know, before next session should be for you to really take a look at yourself and see what it is about yourself that makes you realize, you know, that makes you attracted to damaged girls. And you actually used the term damaged girls, which is something like that I've said on the show. And I've never even, like, there was no conversation about relationships with girls.
You didn't use that term at all? You didn't say?
No, 100% not. That's what I was like, wait, what?
Wow. Well, he got you pegged.
Yeah, he obviously knew who I was.
To the show, I bet.
But he doesn't know what the show is. He doesn't know. Maybe, who only knows. We'll try this again. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Hello, Joe.
Oh, how you doing, buddy?
Is that your therapist?
Yes, my therapist is actually calling in. How are you, pal?
So, speaking of therapy, the interesting thing about this is that I saw Chris a few nights. How long ago was it? Like 2 months ago?
Something like that. It was a couple months back.
And I, you know, I see him with a sad face, and I feel sad for him. And telling him about how I go to therapy and how amazing it's been for me. And you know, I go to my guy. I get a card. I give Chris a call. I tell him to call. Chris calls. Look at us! What a triangle!
Like a little crazy-headed triangle right here on the radio. Yeah, I never mentioned in the past. I said that that I was recommended a therapist by somebody that I know that was a good friend, and the therapist that I'm seeing actually is our buddy Monty, our buddy Jay Miller, that actually turned me on to him.
You guys go to the same guy?
Indeed,
oh,
we do.
Oh my God, this poor guy, this poor doctor. Throwing that guy right in the middle of the whole over-under debacle.
You know, let's settle this thing out once and for all. Let's settle this. Was I wrong for not wanting it to be an over-under bet?
Oh, man, I would love to book a couple session.
little three-way nice action.
What do you think we could talk about with him between you and I? Well, all of our old unresolved issues that we have that I'm not aware of?
No, we could talk about the issues that I think you have. We can work together, me and the doctor.
Oh, nice.
The doctor goes home to his wife, and he says, if I have to hear about this guy Fred from one more patient, I'm going to lose my mind.
Let me say something about Fred, because you were talking about relationships earlier. And has Fred left the room? I'll wait till he comes back.
He can hear.
Yeah, he has headphones on. He hears everything you're saying.
I was in a band with Fred for 7 years. And I got to say, honestly, I love Fred. I love hanging out with him. Anytime we hang out, we have such a good time.
He's the butt.
But he doesn't have any real, like, relationship skills. Like, he's not a – like, we were in a band for 7 years. We never had, like, that – like that real like conversation that brings you that brings the, that a friendship is born from, you know, when you have those close friends because you have those people that you can have those conversations with. He was never that guy. He's more of like a hanger outer.
We never measured penis sizes. That's what Shane means.
I will say that I hung out with Fred pretty closely and pretty regularly. I mean, well before the radio show years ago, because, I mean, it's not like we actually hang out outside of the radio show now. But years ago, we used to hang out like pretty often all the time. And I'm talking like, you know, like my early 20s, like, you know, Fred's, you know, like late teens, early 20s. We used to hang out all the time for like, you know, maybe a good year and a half, maybe even 2 years straight, all the time. And like, and we did have conversations. I mean, there was somewhat of a connection there, so I thought. But then one day, Fred just turned it off, and then like just disappeared and just fell off this earth. There was not like a for lack of a better term, a breakup or anything like that. There wasn't a fight. It was just like one day he decided, I'm not hanging out anymore, and he was just done. Which I found to be kind of a weird dynamic.
My relationships are horrible. I just have a horrible relationship skills. Jay's right. I have horrible. My brother says when he hangs out with me, he likes hanging out with me, but he feels like I don't even want to be there. And it's probably true. I don't know what it is. I'm a miserable person.
But the thing is, too, when you like when you're hanging out, it's like everything is great. Like you're having a blast, and then all of a sudden it's just like, all right, I'm out of here. And it's like 9 o'clock at night. You're like, really?
Well,
leaving now?
Well, that was the problem with being in a band is that every time we played a show or had a practice, he made it feel like he didn't want to be there. So who wants to be with the guy who doesn't want to be there?
Depending on what he brings
to
the table.
It's my brother, cuz. Come on.
I was going to say, it depends on what he brings to the table, because the fact of the matter is, in that same vein, I for the first year that Fred was doing Best in Show with us, I was convinced he didn't want to be here, but it was great hanging out with him and doing it week in and week out. And even for a certain extent, I think there's even a certain amount of him at this point that still hates being here, but that he kind of digs him in some respects too. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
But I think
he tells me he doesn't want to be there. Is that wrong? Wait, did
see,
I break
you,
a rule?
No, you guys did connect though. You guys connected. He is having real conversations with you.
Monty, do you think you're the easiest person to hang out with though?
Here's the thing. Since I've been going to therapy, I do believe that I am a much different person than I was 3 years ago.
Why? What do you think? And what's different about you? What do you think?
I think I'm definitely more easygoing, less judgmental, more willing to let things happen as opposed to trying to control and dictate everything that is out of my control.
Well, how did therapy...
And that's a day of frustration, of things not going your way.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's what that is, you know, and being in a band and playing shows and things not going the way I want and people not acting the way I want. And I mean, that's stuff that's not that's not a bad thing, but Fred didn't act the way that I wanted, but that's something that's out of my control. But I kept wanting to like dictate that. And I allowed that to frustrate me.
Well, it only frustrated you because you cared about me. Do you think it would have frustrated you if it was just some, you know, douche on the street that you didn't care about?
No, that's true, because I would have thrown you out of the band 6 years ago.
Sure.
But the fact that I couldn't throw you out of the band, and rather than throwing you out of the band, I broke the band up. You know, so, that says that.
This sounds like more than there should be a group therapy session involving you and I, Jay. Obviously, there should be one involving you and Fred. This is very...
That's a good point, because you know what? We did kick Chris out of the band, and we kept going.
Now, obviously. I quit the band, mind you. Quit the band. Did not get kicked out.
I don't know.
If you didn't quit, you were getting kicked out.
Oh, obviously. Every guitarist has to, except for money, gets thrown out of that band, obviously.
But, Jay, how do you think therapy helped you come to the realization to do all those things, to let things
What's
go?
What's happening? Is there music happening?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what exactly just happened there? The world just exploded?
That was Rob's beat.
I don't know. There's a lot of music in my phone.
So how did therapy get you to that place? What was it, just like coming out and just talking, coming out of the closet? What was it?
Yeah, when I told them I was getting... Wait.
No.
The thing is, you know, I think a lot of it is, in one sense, in your head, you are very aware of what you're doing. But your head, your brain goes a million miles an hour. And when you get to sit down and verbalize things, you're slowing things down like 1,000%. And then just saying them and actually hearing them. And the fact that someone could listen and kind of piece the things together. He's not really a guy like at the end of your session he goes, all right, here is the problem. You know, it's more like, let me ask you, why do you think you do this? Like, why do you think you need to control your day? Why do you think you get frustrated by this? And it's like, oh, maybe that is why, like, I'm miserable at the end of the day. Or maybe this is why I have no friends. Or maybe this is, like, it allows you to ask those questions of yourself.
The thing, totally. It definitely does. But the thing is, I as much as you warned me that that was, or not warn me, or kind of like let me know, like, hey, don't look for this. Don't think that this guy's going to give you like the answer at the end of it. This week was my second, only my second session with him, and he literally ended it off with like almost, it was like a season cliffhanger for a TV show. It was fantastic.
The island disappeared.
It was amazing. Like, wait, how did
you
make it disappear?
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what, Chris? It's like the end of season one of Lost. Like, you think you figured it out, but then every single episode, there's something else that freaks you out.
100%. I'm not suggesting that
really
this was the answer.
You're peeling the layers of the onion. That's all it is.
Right, agreed. I'm not suggesting that this week was it and it's done and oh, now I see what the answer is and everything's going to be fine. But the fact that he like he dropped the bomb at the end of the session, it was just like, "Whoa, whoa." And he's like, "Yeah, but we can't really do this now because session's over. We'll talk about this when I see you again."
So can I ask
I hate when he does that.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Hey, sometimes you got to watch the clock. A lot of times he lets me go with like 5 minutes left, and I'm like, whoa, we still have time left. So, okay, let me tell you one story about him. So I get there at like for a 4 o'clock appointment. I'm there at like 3:59, okay, and I'm sitting, I'm waiting. Now it's 4:15. He comes out again, and he's like, you're late. I'm like, no, I was here at 4 o'clock. He's like, no, you weren't. I came out. I was like, yeah, I really was. He's like, no, you weren't. And he's like, all right, I guess let's do this. Come on. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
you pissed off your doctor.
Goes, and then on the way to the office, he goes, this is just messes with my entire day. And now, like, I'm going to therapy because I'm a mess. And now I'm a mess in his office. And I'm like, oh, now I just feel really bad. I should just go, you know. And because he almost, like, he made me feel so bad for being late. So the lesson, don't ever be late.
Luckily, I'm a relatively early guy. I haven't had that issue yet, but we'll see. Again, I've only gone to him twice. We'll see how it happens. I don't know.
But that's a mind F. You shouldn't put a person into a state like that when you're about to, you know, psychoanalyze them.
Maybe it was a strategic move
on his part.
But I gotta say, yeah, he wanted to frazzle me and then hit me with drop a bomb on me at the end. And this is why you get frazzled. Ah. Oh.
Why do you think you're late, Jay?
But in all honesty, if you really want the help, wouldn't you show up early to get that help? Wouldn't that be the move?
I'm not late every day. I got stuck in Victory Boulevard traffic.
If you learned anything from Tom Coughlin, don't you know that team meetings start 10 minutes before they're scheduled for? Haven't you figured that out yet?
Listen, let me say this: that he knows who you are because he watched the Monty Love videos. But he knew I prepped him all before you came in.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean he watched the Monty Love videos?
I said this is the guy.
Wait a minute, he saw your band videos? You showed your psychologist band videos?
Hey, if you go to youtube.com/MontyLove, you get to see videos of me. We upload a new video every single week, including not yet today, but this week. Including Fred and Chris.
Wow, very exciting. Very exciting stuff. And you tell him this in the therapy session, and he goes and checks out these videos that you post on a weekly basis, even you know, just raw video as well as videos with commentary? This is what you do? You talk about this in your sessions?
Well, because it's like a free session. See, don't tell him, because then he goes online, he listens to a 10-minute video of me talking. Oh. And it's like, then I could come in and be like, hey, what did you think of me talking for 10 minutes?
Or is that you just wanting him?
I get an extra 10 minutes a week. Don't say nothing, Chris. Come on. Now you're gonna be like that.
I didn't even say a word. It's done. It's over. I didn't even say a word. I'm sorry.
But do you guys ever feel like when you're at a therapy session, do you ever feel like it's all about me type of thing? I know you're there for you. But
no, I do. And here's the best thing about it is that I always feel like it's me. And I hate it. I don't want to ever, like, I don't want to be the guy who, like, constantly talks about himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going to a place going, well, I know that this is about me. And the first few sessions that I was there, I would ask about him. I would be like, so, how was your day?
And he's like, good. You know, like, we're not here to talk about me.
Good until you showed up late.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I keep both of my sessions that I've had with him now so far, I've spent at least 10 minutes of each one saying, like, dude, why am I even here? This is so stupid for me to be here. There's, like, there's no point. Like, I don't know, you know, you go to a doctor because something is broken and the doctor's going to help you fix it. I can't just come to you and say, my head is broken. It's there's such a level of a thick ton of ambiguity that's all around it. Like, how do you just tell somebody, like, hey, I feel kind of kooky, help me? Like, you know, he's not like a
did you ever think, though, that you know, he's seen that a million times before, probably.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he has.
Do you ever see, like, feel that he thinks you're, like, a classic case? Well, I mean, he dropped that bombshell on you, and you feel that he nailed it.
Oh, totally nailed
it. So you're like, oh, this guy's good.
I want to be honest. I'm not saying that the guy is bad or anything like that. On the contrary, I think he's phenomenal. I'm not even saying that therapy is bad. I just feel like going to therapy, not knowing what I'm looking to get out of it, is kind of weird and kind of I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. The whole concept of therapy to me is cop outish in the first place. But
yeah, but you know what you're going there to get, because if you didn't, then you wouldn't have gone there in the first place.
But that's the thing.
It's very John Locke, but you know why you're going.
I don't, though.
But didn't you start off by saying, I'm starting to dig this now? So what changed from the first time to now that you're digging? What part makes you dig it a little more?
He was on point with the bombshell that he dropped on me at the end of it. I guess, you know, the fact that he brought up a thing about, like, things in myself that I look for in other people and my relationships with them, specifically with girls, it was just like
– So now
– It's like a, wait, what? It was kind of like almost like he proved himself a little bit.
Exactly. I'm just saying he's validating himself now to you, now if he's starting to validate and saying, hey, he's giving you something you need to figure yourself out more, you just don't think that somebody on the outside can figure you out because you're you. Who could figure me out? Because I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that thinks.
I guess, and I don't want it to come off with the whole thing of him validating himself so much. Because to be quite honest, as much as you know, we do whatever jokes on the show, whatever. Here, the fact that Jay already gave this guy, you know, a ringing endorsement. I already thought like that. All right, he's got to be, you know, there's got to be something relatively legit about him.
Jay is fucked up.
But
it's true. And if I could be out, man.
Yeah, but so I mean, it wasn't even a matter of that, but there was something about him this week that it was just like he's starting to peg me already, which is just like, wow, this is interesting. Don't get me wrong, I don't feel helped in any way yet. I don't feel better in any way by any means.
No, but you know what it is? It, what's helpful is knowing why you do the things you do, and that makes you kind of it like that thought process of like when you do something that's fucked up. And you know that you're doing it, and it's like, why am I doing this? But then, like, when you understand why you're doing it, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's the deal with my gambling problem. Like, a lot of it is deep into my gambling problem, and trying to understand why I do it when I know that I'm doing it. And I mean, that's a big part of what I go there
for. You do it because it makes you money.
When has it ever made me money? It hasn't made me money in years.
You just like the feeling, too. I mean, there's a feeling associated with that, you know, addiction,
but Chris,
even though you're not doing anything.
The thing is, I know where it's going to go. If I call in a game tonight, I know what's going to happen tomorrow.
You're going to lose that
game. You know what I mean?
You're a mush.
Is that why you don't call me? Is that why you don't text me to come?
What?
No, I don't know.
You had to have said something to him, though. He couldn't have. You said you didn't discuss girls at all.
Not even a little bit.
But you had to have said something that
I understand. He's probably like John Edwards, and he could pick something up about me that there was some buzzword that he locked in on that he knew about me. Maybe it was my body language when he mentioned something. I don't know.
He asked you what you like in others that you don't like in yourself or something like that.
No, then he ended the session by saying to me, he's like, do yourself a favor, and you know, I want you to go and like kind of think about this and try and figure out what it is about you, about yourself, that attracts you to damaged girls.
Girls in particular, damaged people.
No, he said girls.
Damaged girls.
He said girls. Well, he might have said women. But he said, because I'm telling you, I didn't use that word. I might have used it in the first session and didn't realize it. That could be it. I really don't know. I really don't know.
But I mean, what is he basing that on? Is he basing that on your situation now? Is he basing it on your past?
I don't know what he's basing it on. That's the thing. We weren't talking about that. We were talking. We were literally talking about my addiction issues.
You could
the
eat.
Entire session. Yeah. We were talking about my addiction issues and the fact of me coping with trying to stop drinking and the fact that I used to be a cokehead. Like we talked about that the vast majority of this session, and then it ends off with him talking about that. It was like, whoa, wait.
You sure
he's
not? You sure he's not Ustreamer 70109 or Jay?
Be.
Jay, did you hint that Chris does this show? And like, I mean, you know, because that's the thing too. If you listen back a little bit, Damaged Girls came up a few times.
I'm quite certain.
No, he's not listening to the radio show. I'm sure when he watched the videos, I'm sure he watched about 4 minutes of it. So
that much.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, there's no way that he would have that we'd have had. I'm saying it was just weird. Like I said, and you know, I don't know the guy's trade. I don't know how he knows what he knows. Like I said, he might be like a John Edward type guy that he could just pick something out of.
Oh man, not Jenny in the chat room. Did he ask how your skin tag is doing?
Yes.
Oh my God! If there's anybody who needs therapy in this world, it's not Jenny, but it is. Is not Jenny. Jenny needs therapy. I'm sorry. I don't know. Is there a bigger nutcase in the world than her? Have you ever seen her?
I think that everyone is fantastic. I think everyone is a fantastic person.
See, Jay and Chris.
No, she's not a fantastic. She is the nuttiest nut that's ever fallen off a tree.
This is a little something that you might need to talk about with our guy, you know, this judgment that you're making on other people. What difference, you know?
No,
By the way,
that doesn't mean anything. Let me ask you guys this. Now, you guys have known me for a long time. Granted, we haven't really talked much in a while, but do you guys think that I'm a different person in like from 3 years ago or so?
I will say that the guy that I saw at the bar that night that talked to me about therapy, I would have never imagined having a serious conversation like I did with you that night ever in my life. That would be definitely different.
I would say, Jay, you were definitely more put together. Like you own your own car now. It doesn't look like you're in much of a money debt. I think you are a changed person. I think you got a little bit more of a straight head on your shoulders.
This is great. Wait, straight head?
Yeah.
What? Charlie, what do you think?
I don't know. We really haven't spoken that much recently.
From this phone call, though.
Come on, guys.
No, I mean, I always liked hanging out with you, Jay. I really did. I always enjoyed your company.
That's not true.
No, I mean, it is, though. Like, you are a pain in the ass. There's no doubt about that. But so am I.
Come
I could
on.
Be a pain in the ass, too. But,
well, that's true.
Yeah, I think you've turned over a new leaf.
All right. Yes, right. That's three.
Did you start drinking? Honestly, did you start drinking or something?
You guys are probably my best friends.
You should get Keith.
Fantastic. And by you guys, you mean the whole listening audience as well, obviously?
Everyone but Jenny.
Okay. All 15 of them that are listening at this point? Awesome.
What, Keith?
Awesome.
I'll answer. Who is this again?
it's Jay Miller.
Who?
Yeah, definitely.
See? Big change. Big change. Everything's changing.
But Chris and Jay, you never look at your therapist and think, okay, this guy used to go to high school. He probably listened to Iron Maiden, played tennis, and was a big nerd and did keg stands in the golf course during the weekends. You never think, guy is like a human being too, and how could this guy help me with my problems? How is this dude, how is this guy that used to go to Catholic school and pray every Wednesday going to help me with my problems?
The same way...
If he did that, then it's weird because he's Jewish, and then I would probably stop going to him. But he is he's somebody who's read more than me. You know what I mean? Like, he's read more books on people like me.
So is Lamar Brown. But
it's the same concept as look at somebody like me that's a maniac, that's a drunk, that does a stupid internet radio show. But if you came to me to try and fix your Ethernet problems or something like that, it's what I'm a trained professional in and I can do. This guy is a trained professional in this field, regardless of what he came up as.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is he may be passing his judgment or not even so much passing his judgment, giving me advice on looking at this thing in myself that, about, damaged girls, this, that, or the other that I'm into. Yet he could be a dude who goes home and likes to get pissed on himself. Like, I don't know. That's irrelevant. His ability to give me help or not give me help shouldn't have to hinge on his own personal life.
Okay.
There are police officers who can defend the law but can break it at the same time, if they wanted to as well. It doesn't.
But what do you think makes his vice Do you think it's always going to work? Do you think it's always going to be good? Are you always going to try it?
Two sessions. Yeah. I've seen the guy for a total of 1 hour. In that,
and again, he doesn't give you advice. See what he did to Chris. He didn't tell Chris, you need to stop going with girls who are down. He didn't tell him that. Mm-hmm. He said, you need to think about why you do that. So he never tells me, like, okay, you need to stop gambling.
Okay.
It's more like, why do you think you need to stop? Like, how is this affecting your life besides money, like financially? How is this affecting your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love that Dougma points out that he fixes my mental Ethernet problems in the Eras talk room.
Jay, has he ever said something that you didn't agree with?
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone, like, not that, like, he's gone down a wrong path, you know? And I'm just like, I don't think that's where we're going. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And he's like, okay. Like, I'm just putting it out there. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're wrong on that one.
Wow. Well, have you ever corrected him in that way and found out that he was right? He was ultimately right?
Well, I think my gambling, yeah, because when I went there, it wasn't like I didn't have a gambling problem. I just enjoyed gambling, and I could control it. You know what I mean? Like whenever I wanted to stop, I would stop. But you know, it takes 2 years for me to be like, all right, this is complete bullshit.
So Jay, you don't gamble at all now? Did you stop?
No, I play a weekly poker game, and that's it. That's my $30 fix.
Because I was wondering, like, how it is to go to the therapist and say, like, yeah, you know, I went out and gambled last night, or, you know, like, you're airing out your dirty laundry, like, what you're not supposed to be doing, what you're there for, be like, yeah, I went out and got high, or whatever it may be to somebody, you know?
But, you know, when you do something like that, you want to tell somebody, but there is a shame involved, you know? Like, when I lost, I mean, I lost about $7,500 in the last 3 months of last year. And, like, that's embarrassing. You know what I mean? I don't want to tell anyone. Guys, don't tell anybody about that.
Well, is it embarrassing because you couldn't afford it, or is it embarrassing because you are a loser? No, because, like, you lost the money, not because you're a loser.
It's embarrassing because how do you explain that to someone? Like, oh, I lost over $7,000 gambling. And people are like, why would you do that?
Yeah, but what, you know, look at the other side of it. If you would have won $7,500 gambling, you would have been bragging about it.
Right. Well, I did. I won money in the beginning of the year. That's how I was able to buy a car.
Right.
You know, but there is more embarrassment with the failing. That's like when you get, I guess, if you get stoned and do something great, you know. It's like, I got stoned. I wrote the best song last night. You know,
right,
but you
right.
won't tell anyone. Wow, I, you know, I got high and you
threw
know,
up all over myself.
Yeah, totally.
I will say that I did mention to him this week that that I did falter a couple of weeks back and did drink. Not that I'm seeing him for therapy on my alcohol or now alcohol non-use, but I did mention to him and my shame that was associated with that, which was a lot of fun.
Well, if you've seen a person like that, anything's free game. It's your life. Right, it's part of your life.
I know. But I'm just saying that's not specifically. There's what Rob was suggesting is like the reason I'm seeing him. It wasn't like that was necessarily the reason, but that is an aspect of my personality. So I guess in some respects it is.
Well, do you in your head have a specific reason why you're going?
Nope.
It's just
that's my whole
I'm
point.
I'm just going. Okay.
That's my whole point. I don't know what the reason is. As much as Jay suggests that like John Locke, I know but don't know, I guess. I really don't. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think you need to. I think
no.
That's
see, I disagree. I disagree.
He specifically said to me, embrace that ambiguity. Embrace that because that's not, you know, you're not going to be able to clear that up. Unless you know specifically why you come here, you're never going to clear up why you're coming
that's
here.
That's what I think,
but that's what I'm saying. But that's I think that's something that will eventually come. So he's basically telling you decide soon why you're here?
No, not at all.
You'll figure out along the way.
I'm saying I don't know why I'm coming here. And he's like, yeah, so?
Oh, okay, right,
and
exactly.
And I think you know.
I know you do.
And I'm not saying you know like you're not telling anybody, but it's there. It's there. Like, there's a maybe it's because you're unhappy. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why you're there.
It could be.
Well, Jay, why did you?
Our buddy Brian, Best in Show Brian, in the chat room is suggesting, and then he ended the session with, "And how did that make you feel? $200, please."
Oh, here's another thing. Is for the two of you. This is for you too, Jay. Does your health insurance cover this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I wouldn't go
because
if
I wouldn't.
No health insurance.
I wouldn't be able to afford it.
No one would. But $7,500 you can afford.
The reason that I went there in the first place was because I have an awful memory. Like, I do a thing where, like, I'll go down, like, I'll leave my apartment, go down the elevator, forget my wallet.
run upstairs, open the door, get my wallet, go downstairs, and I put my keys on the table. I have to go back upstairs and get my keys and then go back upstairs. Like, my day is just, my brain is such a blank slate all day.
Wait, a psychotherapist could relieve, fix forgetfulness?
Try a string around your finger to remind yourself of things.
Keep an extra set of keys at the therapist's office.
You have Alzheimer's.
Then I'm going to be the guy with 10 strings around my finger, you know, like.
So that's why you went to the therapist, because you were forgetting things. That's weird.
Yes, and totally helped me.
Not because
totally
you were crazy. And it
not because of gambling. I didn't think I had a gambling problem until I was 29 years old.
Well, did the therapist fix the forgetfulness?
Yes. Not fix it. Again, he doesn't fix things. But I understand now why I do what I do, and I can't get into it. I don't want to get too personal on this.
No, but you have a better understanding of self.
And it lessens my frustration from that, because when I do forget things, I don't beat myself up all day. You know what I mean? And that's like, it's like going to my parents' house. You know what I mean? Like, you're an idiot. You know, you hear that 100 times a day, you know, and you beat yourself up.
How about move? Don't live with your parents anymore.
I don't. But
yeah, right.
But and I love that Brian asked that. Couldn't I just forget about gambling?
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. Well, Jay, I do appreciate you calling in and chiming in and actually letting us know where you're at and know that you know, your connection to my whole therapy thing and sharing a bit about yours. Really, really appreciate it. But I guess
I hate to take 2 minutes more time. I've been on too long. But,
No. I have a specific point. I have a specific point of where I'm going. You can have 2 minutes after that. The point that I'm about to make is, as much as this therapy thing is fascinating and exciting and interesting and everyone wants to know about it, the question on everybody's mind is, what is going on with the Monty Love reunion?
Okay, here's the thing. So I get an email from Ron. So for those who don't know, Ron Fez has been talking about Monty Love, a band that I was in and Fred was in and briefly Chris was in. And we broke up. What? We broke up in 2006. And we haven't played, and so now this radio show, Ron and Fez, on was it Sirius XM?
Sirius and XM, mm-hmm.
Echo Star.
So they were big fans of us. We played on their show a bunch of times, and apparently they've been talking about us and want us to reunite. So I get an email saying, "Hey, can you send me some music for the reunion show?" Now, I have no idea who it was or what it is, and so I respond back with, "I'm not aware of any reunion show." So then I talked to Fred, and Fred is like, apparently Fred got an email too, and I'm pretty sure.
And then and then you talked to Fred and he said, "Hey, don't you remember when we said this on Best in Show like a week ago? Do you remember that part?"
You got to fill people in previously on this show.
Right.
What, do you want me to just go into it?
No. That's my point, is you're saying like you were blindsided by the idea of the comeback of the reunion show, but it is something that we did talk about here on our show first, and you know, friends of the Ron and Fred show actually listen to our program or know a little bit about our program, and the word has gotten out there. So
I'm not aware of any reunion show.
Oh,
but here's the thing. But. Here's the thing. Fred got some sort of email, and I'm pretty sure. Now, Fred, did you tell them that we were doing a reunion show?
Yes.
I knew it.
Wait, you guys broke up?
Monty, you'll be there.
No, I knew you said. Did you really say that we would?
Yeah, you'll be there. Don't worry.
Wow. Who are you talking to about this?
You. You'll be there. Who did you talk? Who did you agree to with it that you were actually going to do the reunion show?
Run.
Look at that. Of all the people that would say yes to the reunion and set it up, the last member of the group that I would think it would be Fred.
You know,
yesterday
afternoon I was talking to Fred on the phone, and he's like, "So listen," he's like, "You know, I was talking to Ron about like the Monty Love reunion, and I said, you know, Jay hasn't really agreed to it, but I told Ron, yeah, we'll definitely do it. We'll definitely
what?
Do it. But Jay doesn't know that I told him this yet."
See, because I'm not down to do it. See, that's the thing.
No, you'll be there, man. You're gonna be there.
Fred knows that.
You're gonna be there. Now he just wants to be difficult to be difficult.
No, he'll be there.
No, I'm not being difficult to be difficult. Why are we doing a reunion show?
You'll be there. Don't worry.
Well, I had approached you about doing something too.
I want you to tell me why we're gonna do it.
Because it'll be fun.
What's gonna be fun about it?
We're gonna get together. We're gonna play some songs.
Where are we playing?
Who knows?
No, see. I'm emailing Ron.
I'm sure it would.
No, you're not. You'll be there.
I'm sure it's going to be in XM Studios, right?
You're going to be there. Well, no, I had approached you about doing something.
Here's the thing. I'll probably be there, but I don't think you'll be there.
You're going to be there, man. We're going to do it.
No.
Yes.
Listen,
I think it's
first of all, here's the thing. If we're going to do a show, why are they going to say, hey, do you guys want to play? What are we going to say? Yes. Jump at the opportunity. First of all, why not say no and see what they offer us?
You'll come. You'll be there.
No, see, Maddie is just making a mockery of
There's no mockery. There's been a challenge, you know, accept the challenge.
It's been issued, accept it. I see
what you're
coming
from. A challenge of what? There's no challenge.
To play.
Fred just challenged you to play. He said he doesn't think that you could do it anymore. That's what he actually was just essentially what he's saying without words.
Okay, and I lose the challenge. Handily.
Come on, you're going to be there. Don't make a mockery of this.
How about arm wrestle or something for it? Like if Fred wins and the arm wrestle.
Jay's being a diva. He'll be there.
First of all, why can't we have like a few, like a radio session at least where we could talk about it? Like, let's get radio time, first of all. And let's see what they offer us. You're just going to like just say yes?
What do you mean offer you? What are they going to offer you?
Yeah, because I'm not doing this just for like for shits and giggles.
$7,500 in debt last year.
What?
You're $7,500 in debt last year, last 3 months, you said. You need to, you know.
Yeah, and how much are we getting paid for the show? Yeah, thank you.
That nothing. You'll be there. You'll be there.
Wow. Maybe you jumped the gun. Maybe you set this wheel in motion a little bit earlier than you should have.
There was definitely some jumping of gunning of wheels of going.
I think it'd be a shame if this couldn't be put together. I think it'd be awful if you guys couldn't get on the air on Ron and Fez and plug Hear Us Talk and Best in Show as many times as you can while you're out there. I think that would be a shame. I think that this is what the people want. But hey, I mean, you know, I think this is something that needs to be discussed a little bit further.
Well, you know what would have been a smart thing to do? It's been like, you know, Jay Monty's not really into the idea, you know, and then maybe we could come on the air and talk about it and bring up Hear Us Talk and Best in Show Radio. But no, now we're just going to go in the room and play like, hey, guys, we're back together.
Ron, if you're listening, Monty will be there.
Okay. There it is. Signed, sealed, deliver. YouTube.com/Monty Love. Jay, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I'm not going.
What do you mean you're not going?
See you there, bro.
No, I'll see you somewhere else. How about that? This is great. You're making me. I gotta go call my therapist.
Wow. Oh, very, very moving stuff.
I had to jump the gun. If I didn't, he wouldn't have done it.
His therapist / your therapist is going to tell him, do me a favor when you do this. Don't send me the link.
YouTube.com/MontyLove would be that link where he'll be able to check all that stuff out. I can't believe you actually just went to Ron and just sold straight up. Yeah, we'll do it. No problem.
Because I knew he wasn't going to do it otherwise. So this is the only way. And, you know, he's going to bitch and moan about it, but he'll do it. He'll do it.
Okay. Well, we'll
see. Let's hope.
We'll see. I approached him about doing something, too, to help me out a little bit, and he always says no, but I was like, if I get my ass in gear and do it, he'll end up doing it, you know?
Sure. He's Jay, he needs a little bit of a push and a pull to get him, you know, jump started.
He's holding up Saturday Night Live.
He's really mad. He's really mad.
I don't know. I don't know if he's bummed. I don't know that he's bummed at the idea of doing it as much as he's bummed that you took the initiative on it before him.
Well, because I had
that whole control issue that he was talking about on there, exactly. You took it out of his hands.
I had a cell phone conversation with him not 2 days ago, and I blatantly lied to his face saying I got all these emails saying like, they emailed me saying, yeah, when are we doing it? And I said, oh, I had no idea. And, you know, I BS'd him for about a half hour on the phone like 2 days ago. And he's probably all bummed out about that.
You really
that.
Are a good friend. You're a really, really great friend.
I didn't know if I should tell him on the show or wait until we maybe got into the studio.
Hey, man, you want to go grab something to eat? Yeah, let's go drive over to XM Studios. Let's see. Maybe they got something to bite to eat over there, something like that.
Was I wrong in doing that?
I think it's fine. I think it's fantastic. I think anything that you could do to bring the Monty Love legend further on, I think is a greater thing. And this will just add another thick layer to it. And if it turns out that Monty doesn't actually show up for it, I think that would add another whole dimension to it. I think if Monty shows up and you don't show up for it, and none of the other band shows up for it, it would add another whole
Monty
dimension.
Monty showing up. Guaranteed.
Right, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's exciting. Oh. It's exciting. You're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. The magical wonderland, fantasy cavalcade of all that stuff. I don't know. It's very exciting what's going on with this whole Monty Love fiasco. Do we have any Monty Love music that we could actually play?
Sure do.
He's pissed.
Hi, buddy.
Clearest of all lines.
Look at you joining us on the clearest of all lines. What's going on, buddy?
She's alive.
I am alive. I made it through Valentine's Day.
It's very, very exciting to know that you've made it through. I mean, before you go any place, before you talk about anything, I guess the most obvious thing is, did you get a gift for Valentine's Day from anyone out there?
I did. I got a couple gifts, actually. Got a couple gifts, but I got a stalker gift.
I was going to say, any of those gifts come without a return address? I'm guessing one did.
Yes, multiple gifts. So last week I told you guys about some anonymous presents, some flowers and some earrings that showed up at my house.
Butterflies.
Butterfly themed with no. No card, no signature, no message, no information as to who might be the person who would want to send them to me. And no one in my real life who I thought maybe would want to send them to me was fessing up. Everyone said no. No, it was not them. Oh. So then I didn't talk to you guys last Thursday.
No, we didn't. We wound up not doing a show last week, and this is our first show back since something happened
so,
before that Thursday?
Yeah, so I spoke to you guys on Monday. On Wednesday, there was another little gift outside my door.
Oh, you got it?
And when I spoke to you guys, you made me feel like I needed to call the police and there needed to be, like, some intervention kind of thing and that I was stupid if I didn't.
Right.
Well, I didn't because I felt like a moron. So, So a couple days later, another little package is outside. Again, not sent through the mail, just outside my door.
Romantic.
And so I open the door. There's the box, and I open it up. It's a wind chime. Only this time there was a card, and it said no signature. It said musical like your voice.
Oh boy,
hot. I mean,
wind chimes. I really do. They sound good.
So this person didn't sign it off with saying, what do we ask the person to sign it with last week? I don't mean any harm, I swear.
My bad, I think.
Yeah, it was. So there was no my bad on the card then?
No, there was no my bad. There was nothing except that. It was card inside a set of wind chimes and musical like your voice.
So your voice is your selling point for this person, obviously. Do you think this could have, I don't know, where could this come from?
Well, then I started to blame the radio show, and I was kind of pissed at you guys.
Obviously.
Yeah, because I got to point the finger somewhere, and I really didn't know where to point it. So I was pointing it at you. So then I was like, all right, I consulted with a couple of other people that I find to be reasonable in life, and they were like, yeah, you need to go say something. To the police. You need to file some kind of thing about this. So the police precinct is close to my house, so I walked myself over there, and I go in, and I'm feeling retarded. I mean, I'm feeling hysterical, like they're going to really poo-poo me and send me out the door because, you know, because I'm a chick, and I'm saying, oh, I have a stalker. And so I'm like, I don't know what you guys can do. I'm not even sure what this means, but I've been getting some things on my doorstep, and I'm a little bit concerned. So I just, is there something I can do about it? So the woman that works the desk, she calls over an officer. It takes a little while for somebody to come talk to me. And now he's like, okay, so tell me what's going on. And I start to explain the exact same story that I told you guys. I start to say, I got flowers and I got...
And before you get too far into it, he says, wow, you're musical, just like your voice. Such a musical voice.
And then I get to the wind chime and he goes, you mean like your voice?
Did you like the earrings?
So I'm telling the story and I'm watching his face and I'm starting to laugh now as I'm telling it, which is maybe not the most serious way to express my fear and that, you know, but his face is just, he's just icing over. Like, it's just like, I can see I'm losing him. And I'm like, you gotta understand, it's like outside my door and I live up there alone and I work in the same building and something could happen to me, you know, just, and I can tell he's glazing over. And so I finally say something. I start to, like, really motor on because I'm nervous. And I said something about maybe you could get the surveillance camera from the footage from the florist because that was something that was suggested to me. And he just completely deadpans and goes, it's not against the law to send someone flowers, ma'am. So I'm like, fine. I'm going to go now.
So there was no dragnet? There was no...
So basically everything that you feared, the experience of filing the report, it turned out to be that and 10 times more.
Yes, yes. It's not illegal to send someone flowers. So there was nothing... There was no harassment. The only thing that you can file, I guess, is that someone is harassing you. Like, there's unwanted contact that comes from a specific person that has some vague or implied threat to it. Or, you know, it's like, this is somebody sending me presents, and I have no idea where to even direct them. I can't say, keep an eye on so-and-so because he's trouble, you know? Like, I have no idea.
Well, I don't think you did the wrong thing. I mean, you know, at least... I don't think you did the wrong thing, you know. At least there's some sort of there's probably not a record.
Yeah, I'm blown away. I'm blown away that's what the cop did. I'm blown away that they didn't even take a report or do anything. A dude showed up at my house when someone broke a window on my car and actually filled out a report about it. This guy just said it's not an illegal thing.
Someone broke a window in your car. Someone sent me flowers.
Earrings? Did you get the earrings I sent?
I did. They're lovely.
Well, you were in them when you were talking to the cop? That would be brilliant if you were.
No, I brought them, though, because I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. I brought them for some reason, and I brought the card from the florist, and, you know, none of it mattered.
You need to arrest this person for giving me these tacky earrings. Is there any way you could do that?
Look at these. I wouldn't wear these.
By the way, Barb is suggesting in the Hero Stalk room that you shouldn't throw any of these things out. Don't touch them too much, and don't let other people see them. Just keep them for when things, hit the fan, I guess.
That was my next point. Did you bring these things, Vanessa, because you thought they were going to do fingerprints, like fingerprint testing?
No,
on them?
I knew that they weren't going to do fingerprints. I just wanted to, like, I don't know. I wanted to have some kind of, like, evidence that I wasn't making it up. Like, it was like, look, here it is.
I'm dusting these earrings for traces of true love.
You know what you do, Vanessa?
Plant the thing yourself. Say, okay, I have a new package now, and there's some powdery substance in it. And then they'll take it seriously. This guy will not be 5 feet.
Yeah, but then I'm the one who's broken the law.
Well, you're breaking the law for your own safety, though. If you need to break
vigilante
the law for your
justice, that's what I should do here.
Send yourself something that's quote unquote from this person.
Ends justifying the means, then.
Yeah. Say, oh, there's a powdery substance in here. Can you come check it out? Oh, then they'll have surveillance cameras on your door 24/7.
Yeah, but can you get Giggs or Chris to come up there and just rig something?
Well, like they ruin their credit. Vanessa, all you have to do is complain that somebody.
I forgot Rob, the white collar vigilante.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Vanessa, do you just have to complain to the Postal Service that your mail's getting stolen? But that people are taking, you know, something? I don't know how your building's set up, though, if that would be physically possible. Can't speak tonight. But anyway, you can do things. I see where Fred's going. You can make certain accusations so that things can get
all
done.
Of this is... I know who it is now.
Dun, 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 dun.
I was about to say that I think the private investigator is the route to go, but apparently it's not.
Is this going to be weird talking with Brian not here to defend himself? Or
Not it.
So wait, no, let's get to the point here. Let's get to what you're saying. So this was Wednesday. What happened after Wednesday?
So Saturday is Valentine's Day.
The holiest day on the Christian calendar, by the way.
So I'm, you know, sitting in my pajamas in my apartment playing World of Warcraft on Skype, right? Because that's what I would do on Valentine's Day.
Of course.
And somebody knocks on my door.
Hello?
Now, I had...
Hello?
The Canadian was on the phone with me. You know, he was on Skype, so I felt a little bit better... I don't know. I was like, what do I... Someone's knocking on the door. So I'm not expecting anybody. Somebody's knocking. And I'm a little freaked out because of everything that has happened.
Did somebody order a stalker?
If I scream, you know, he's going to know. So...
Do you have a peephole? Do you have a peephole that you could look through and see?
So I go...
Oh, my God. Vanessa.
Did the stalker just get her? Call 911. Somebody Vanessa. Call 911.
Oh,
thank God. Oh, my God.
I'm really hoping it was a land shock.
That's terrifying. Okay, so you looked through your peephole, and you recognized the face.
No, there's a guy. I've never seen him before in my life.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. What happens next?
So I say through the door, I say, hello. And he goes, hi, it's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
And I said,
that's a Jamie, chick's name.
Jamie, do I know you from somewhere? And he says, did you get my gifts?
Oh, whoa.
I'm terrified right now, like I'm watching a bad horror movie.
Jamie, Jesus.
So I don't open the door, and now we're having a conversation through my door.
Wow.
And I say, yes, yes, I did. I'm not going to open the door here, Jamie. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. She just
Hello?
Cut off again.
Call 911. Somebody call
Vanessa. Vanessa.
Oh, my God.
This clearest of all lines makes us think that she's hanging up over and over again or having her lines cut. Okay. So what happens?
So he says, I just thought maybe you might like to go out sometime.
It's kind of romantic.
And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I just
told you, it's me, Jamie.
Hello, my future girlfriend.
And according to the Heroes Talk Radio Roman Pal Talk, it's me, Jamie. Jamie, J.J. Walker.
I like butterflies also.
Well,
so
you could PM me on Yahoo
Chat. Now I'm feeling bad, like somehow I'm doing something wrong because I'm not answering the door and someone just sent me some nice presents, but I'm not answering the door, you know, like I'm not
good
opening
idea.
It.
That was a good idea.
Well, how did he look, Vanessa? What did he look like? Describe what he looked
okay,
like.
Okay, well, here's the part where I end up feeling like a jerk because he looked he was like probably in his mid-30s. He looked...
Chromosome missing, or...
Nebbishy, you know. He had kind of, like, longish hair that was, like, a little scraggly.
So he looked like a character from World of Warcraft.
Okay.
No, he looked like a nerdy guy. Like, a, you know, he just looked like a guy. I don't know. Whatever.
A guy that would play World of Warcraft.
No, the guys who play World of Warcraft are hot.
Vanessa, Keith, Vanessa, don't forget, I play World of Warcraft, remember?
I was throwing you a bone. What?
I sense another stalker soon.
So you're having a conversation through the door
We're
now.
We're having a conversation through the door. With someone else who I was on the phone with listening to my end of the conversation, you know, waiting for something to happen.
Okay.
So he says, okay, I'm just going to leave you my phone number. And if you want to call me, you can. But I just, you know, I saw you and I thought that maybe you might like to go out sometime.
Ballsy.
So
it's ballsy.
I'm like, okay, fine. just wanted him to go. So I open the door after a little bit of time has gone, you know, and I'm
wait. So he dropped the lead. He dropped his number like in front of your door and walked away. And you wait.
Yeah.
You wait.
Yeah. He left his number on a piece of paper and he walked away.
You never think? Did you think he did the fake walk? Like he pretended to walk down the stairs and got really silent. Like, hello, 911.
Oh God, she got cut off.
Had, like peripheral, like so. I'm trying to like, if I move my body sideways, can I see sideways through my people? Like, and tell if he's gone down the stairs. Like, it just, yeah. So some time has passed, and I feel like he's gone, and I'm not going to be a prisoner in my apartment, so I'm going to open the door at some point. So I open the door, and there's a piece of paper and the phone number on there. So now I'm like, I got to call him, because I have to find out, what the fuck did you think you were doing? like, I have
hello?
What happened?
Call 911.
Oh, my God.
And you can't just send people anonymous gifts and then show up and knock on their door.
By the way, Barb points out in the Heroes Talk Room, she realized that the gifts are actually coming from inside the house.
So what happens when you call them up? Did you call them up that night?
Yeah. So it's like an hour after he was here, I call him. And I'm like, hello, Jamie? It's Vanessa. And
I was thinking about me and you going on a date, but something else came to mind instead.
So I'm like, where did this come from? And he starts out, he's like, I'm sorry if I scared you. Like, I didn't. And it really seemed like it never occurred to him that what he was doing could be creepy. Like that this was just, he was being romantic or I don't know. He seemed truly shocked that I would be weirded out. And so I said, where do I know you from? Because I didn't recognize him at all. Well, there's a cafe on the first floor of my building, and apparently he's a customer there. And I'm in and out of there all the time because it's in the building. So he has seen me coming and going and seen me walk up the stairs to my apartment and walk into my studio because I work in the same building. And so he has seen me a whole bunch of times, and he's just been like a face in the cafe that I've never looked at. I've never noticed him. So he got my, I said, how did you find out my name? And he looked in my mailbox.
Oh. Ooh. Hot, I think.
I can't believe he confessed to that. You know, that's something hard to confess to.
Because it's illegal.
Yeah.
That is illegal. Wow, Vanessa.
So he said that he felt like he wanted to make an impression, and that, you know, to just walk up to me when we've never had a conversation, like downstairs in the cafe, would have, you know, why would I even talk to him?
No, that would have been too normal. That would have been too normal to do.
Yeah, to say, hey, how's it going? Can I buy you a cup of coffee? He would have, but I, you know, I'm a real jerk. I probably would have been like, no, and like kept going. So I don't know. So he said that he was trying to make an impression on me, and that he thought that because it was Valentine's Day, that this was just a proper course of action. That this was like, he was just sending me Valentine's. Like,
wow. I'm saying someplace in my mind, maybe a little bit of me understands.
No,
a little bit.
I think I would understand it if it was someone you knew, like if it was a friend of yours, Vanessa, that maybe you didn't know had something for you and was doing this and sending anonymous gifts, and then he was that person that knocked on the door and was like, hey, and which is still creepy, but at least you could be like, oh, I didn't know, like, you know, I didn't know it was you, and I didn't know this is how you felt, and at least it was, it would be someone, a familiar face at least, and you could either, you know, say, hey, look, well, I don't feel that way about you, or like, oh my God, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I got a couple other Valentine's gifts that were kind of that way. That was like, hey, I know that you've been single for a little while now. Here, throw my hat in the ring, kind of thing. You know, from people right. that I do know, and that was fine. You know, like
they didn't really say they were throwing their hat in the ring in the Valentine, did they?
Yes, and then they challenged each other to duel.
what?
So here's the part where I...
The letdown.
When you ask what he looks like and why I feel like a jerk, because he was not attractive to me at all. He was not attractive. And as I'm talking to him, he's like, you know, I'm like, oh, so what do you do? What's your story? He's like, you know, a computer guy. He works out of his house. I don't think he gets out very much. I think
Mom's
the cafe
basement,
is like his big... The cafe is his big social outing, is that he sits in the cafe. So to him, I was a part of his social day, even though I didn't know that. And
wow.
Does this make you not want to play World of Warcraft? It really makes me not want to play World of Warcraft. This whole story.
I want to play more. I'm a hot guy on there.
It would make me not want to ever leave the house at this point. I would only want to go to Arathor.
I'll be honest. Hiding from the dude isn't the thing. People are the saddest things on the planet.
Okay, but here, but what if I opened the door, if I looked at my peephole after getting these gifts,
it was some guy that
I actually found attractive?
Yeah, what would happen then, Vanessa?
We'd be dating right now, right? I mean, like, this is, the same things happened. The same gifts, the same creepy stuff, the same looking in your mailbox, all of that is the same. But it's a guy that I actually find attractive.
So you get
romantic and great, right?
Of course it
is. Yeah, then it's the most romantic thing in the world. So.
Exactly.
I disagree.
So this guy didn't do anything wrong. His crime is the fact that I think he's gross.
Wow. Oh, poor guy.
But seriously, Vanessa, if that was someone you didn't know but found attractive, you would have thought that would have been romantic? You wouldn't find that creepy? Are you still there?
Vanessa!
Call 911!
Damn it.
Oh, God.
Whew.
Serious though.
Vanessa, if I showed up at your door
after all of that, we'd be dating right now.
I'm not talking about you.
But I'm saying you're getting rid of the Canadian boy that easy. Say there was a Brad Pitt that showed up at your door. You're betting him that night.
Well, if he lives locally and I started dating somebody, then I don't know. I don't know what would happen then.
About the dynamic of as the knock came at the door, she was on Skype with the Canadian telling him, if anything happens, I'll let you know. Hold on. She goes over. It's a good looking guy at the door. Oh, Canadian. Yeah, you can hang up. Everything's fine. It's a friend. Gotta go.
I'm honestly bummed. I was really pulling for Veal Chop the whole time.
This guy said that he thought a couple of times in the cafe that we had exchanged looks, glances, that made him think that...
You shared a stir?
That something, that there was something... that this was, like, maybe could be reciprocal. And I've never seen him before in my life, which means that whatever smiles that I gave him were just human. I don't know, like someone opened the door and I walked through it and so I smiled.
It's amazing. It's amazing what is so important to one person means nothing to somebody else. Yeah. Just because you have sex with one guy in a cafe, he thinks it means something. It's so absurd.
But maybe Vanessa's giving sexy looks like she doesn't even know it. You know how you give mean looks to people and you don't even know that you're staring at somebody giving like a mean look. You're like, why am I doing that? Maybe you do. Maybe you do that.
Let's not dance around this a little too much. Vanessa's hard pressed to give looks that aren't a little bit on the sexy side. Let's be honest. She's got that. That's not even just her looks. There's something about her. There's something.
Je ne sais quoi.
What?
I don't.
Excuse me.
Is that German?
We don't curse on this show. But I could see that her not intending to be flirtatious could come off as being flirtatious. I could see that.
Well, wait. I don't think you answered though. If that guy at the on the other side of the peephole was a good-looking guy, you would have thought that was romantic?
Of course. Yeah.
I think I would have. I think if it was someone that maybe I had exchanged a couple glances with in a store or something, I think I would think it was great.
Yeah, it would have been a great story.
But if you didn't know him, I'm sorry, Rob. If you didn't know him at all, though, if you didn't know him at all and was good-looking.
Vanessa? Hello?
Given that.
The clearest of all lines is cutting out on us repeatedly here.
But it's clear when she's there.
It's true. By the way, I'm totally gnarled out by Bosco Brad pointing out, would you like my cream in your coffee in the chat room? Disgusting.
So, Vanessa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is this coffee establishment, is this off limits now?
No, it's downstairs. Like, I'm even if I don't go in, I'm around it all the time. I mean, I don't know what, you know.
Could you do?
I'm friends with the owners, so I told them. I was like, hey, watch out for creepy guy.
You know? Oh, see? Come on. You're a mean jerk.
Did you get any background on him? Like, maybe this is something he does, like?
It's his M.O.?
No, they didn't know anything about him other than the fact that he comes in there. He brings his laptop. He does some work from in there sometimes, and
doing well. And,
okay. You're not on an open network, huh, Vanessa? I mean, he could be tapping into your stuff. But the question I have... I'm sorry, Chris.
No.
The question I have at this point is, do you do the old I have to be nice to him friend thing to make sure that psycho doesn't become more psycho? And like, hey, we're just friends. And then he's like, oh, cool, we're kind of friends. And then you go down that whole road and he's trying to still get ins. Or do you totally cut it off and be like...
I will smile and say hello and wave if I see him downstairs. I'm not... calling him on the phone.
I see you go the other route. Go the other route. Go like Stone Cold Steve Austin, come in like shooting the bird, and, you know, just like, you know, breaking glass and just storm by him, give him a stunner, and go order your coffee.
I would love to give him a stunner.
I mean, that's what I would think. That's what I think there is. They just go, so, oh, hey, Jamie, how you doing? Like, reach out like you're going to give him a hug. So he stands up, kick him once in the gut, give him a stunner, and go order your latte, and you'll be fine.
It would have been great if she opened the door and gave him an open mouth kiss and then just punched him right in the face.
Vanessa, how do we get him on the show? I got my producer hat on now. What do you do? What job am I going to give you to get this guy on the show?
Yo, you have the number. Let's call him.
No, you could maybe swing something where your boyfriend, you're this, you associate some sort of a love interest that you have, does something that he, you know, and you don't tell him where or nothing, and that he needs to call. And, you know, it's a very interesting way of how he courted you. You're flattered by it, but, you know, unfortunately,
well,
blah, blah, blah.
If he got my name off of my mail, if he Googled me, let's face it, he knows about the show. I mean...
But let's be honest, though. He didn't write my bad on the note, so maybe he didn't find out about the show. Did you at least give a plug? Did you tell him Mondays and Thursdays, 8 to 11, heroestalk.com?
No, I didn't.
Jamie, if you're listening, please call in. Jamie, please call in if you're listening.
Jamie, if you're listening, listen to the show, 8 to 11 Mondays and Thursdays.
You mentioned, you're listening, please don't come over, please.
You mentioned the DJ Newstyle show at least, right?
Yeah, honestly, 9 to 11 every Tuesday here on Heroes Talk, at least. I mean, I understand if you don't want to give us the plug, but at least DJ Newstyle.
Well, so you think you're done with Jamie, or you just started your relationship with him? Like, is this how the relationship's going to be? Is he going to keep coming back, giving you things in the hopes of getting you one day, or did you make it clear that you wanted nothing to do with him, Vanessa?
I think we made it clear that, well, I said I was seeing someone.
Okay. That never stopped a guy before.
I'm seeing you through a peephole.
Yeah, no, I said that I was seeing someone, and when I said I was seeing someone, he said, "Oh, the guy with the red truck," and I went, "What?" And
I wouldn't wave when you see him in the coffee shop. Don't wave, Vanessa. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, that's really creepy. Now this is taking a weird turn.
Yeah, no, I didn't know what the red truck meant because I was like, wait, a guy with a red truck? And then I realized I had a couch moved for me and someone with a red truck delivered it.
Oh,
like I had to pay somebody with a truck. And
wow.
And so he thought maybe that was my boyfriend was moving furniture for me.
Let's say honestly, we're saying like, oh, my God, I can't believe this creep is doing this. Oh, my God. But, like, I see it.
He's taking
pants. I see it and I sympathize a little bit. Like, he's a sad little dude who's infatuated with this girl.
But do you go as far as doing all that stuff?
Of course not. I'm unbelievably cool. I'm not a sad, creepy dude. No, but, I, like, the fact is, like, he's a sad dude who's alone in the world who has a crush on a girl that he saw at a coffee shop that he's giving gifts to her. I understand, like, this is his whole life. And he's in this coffee shop. He might see this dude in the red truck come by. I understand, man.
But listen,
Jamie, me and you are boys.
I definitely understand that, but, I mean... There's got to be some point where you have to be like a human being and be like, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And yeah, you know what? Vanessa may be a douche and say, no, go screw yourself. But at least you are now. That's where the relationship ends. It's like, all right, fuck her. I'm moving on.
Not disagreeing with the theory behind what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with the theory that this dude's creepy and weird. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But the sadness of the existence that he ekes out on a daily has taken precedence to me and is totally, like, I feel awful about that.
Understood. But now Vanessa waves to him now in the coffee shop. I don't. Have you seen him since, Vanessa, in the coffee shop?
No, I haven't seen him yet.
Do yourself a favor and don't wave, because now you're just going to, like, this guy is just going to...
Feel the fire.
He's going to feel like there's something. Like, I finally made my connection with her. And now, like, he's going to look at that wave as, you know, as he has a chance.
But you know, he's definitely going to be looking out for her now that he's made contact. So now, Vanessa, are you even going to go to that coffee shop anymore, or are you going to continue to going there?
It's downstairs.
She said she's going to go. She knows the owners.
They're my landlords. I mean, like, of course I'm going to be in there, you know? That's my coffee shop. He should go.
And if Jamie comes up to you, starts talking to you, are you just going to shoot him down? You're going to listen to what he has to say?
I'm gonna really have to be somewhere quick.
Oh. I think Jamie's been shot down already. I think that's obvious at this point.
My prediction is that Jamie becomes the guy that says, hey, Vanessa, how are you? And she says, oh, good, how are you? And that's it. You know, like, it's like...
No,
that's
hey,
what I'm getting for.
Hey, Vanessa, how are you? Dum, 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 kick in the gut. Stunner. Stunner. Stone cold stunner. Stone cold stunner.
No way. Jamie's definitely buying her next cup of coffee when they meet. He's going to try to chit-chat you up.
Get her Facebook.
Definitely. Guys don't take hints that well. He's going for it.
He could be blatant, just like Barb is suggesting in the chat room. Jamie, you suck at women. Just say that to him. Just let him know.
What if he just walks up to her and says, you know, I'm seeing someone now.
What would you wouldn't give him a little mercy F, though?
No.
Come on, hook him up, the poor guy.
Like, that's where I am in my life.
Just a friend. It's a friend. It's a good pal. I'm glad to know that you are healthy and happy and alive and all that good stuff, and that you know who your stalker is. And let's be honest, if it came down to it and you're in a fist fight, you and Jamie, you taking him out?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. Stone Cold Stunners all around. It'll be great. So I'm glad to know.
The bird on the way out.
Oh, thank God. Whenever you hear the broken glass, you know it's Jamie's ass. I'm very excited about the whole thing.
I'm kind of bummed it wasn't Veal Chop too.
And you shouldn't have said to Jamie that you're seeing someone. You should have said, I'm seeing someone now, but if someone better looking comes along, I'll take them. Because that's what you really are saying.
And heads up, it's not you.
Oh,
I'm seeing.
Newsflash.
I'm seeing someone, but if you have any good-looking friends, pass my address along. Awesome, well, Vanessa.
I'm shallow, right?
That would have been hot, though.
Shallow. Joking.
Human, just human, Vanessa.
Yeah, it's. I don't think you should have embraced the dude. I don't think you should have went anyplace with him. But I'm still just blown away by this sad little dude. Sad, sad little guy.
So you should go out with him.
I'm gonna. Get me his number. I'll at least call him on the show and we'll talk about it.
But the mystery's solved now. You don't have to worry anymore now.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Except
he knows where I live and he's downstairs.
And now
his
he hates
ears
you.
Pressed up against the door right now. Who knows?
And now he doesn't love you. He hates you now.
Yeah, now I'm a bitch. Now I'm the cold bitch that didn't appreciate his gifts.
Yeah, you're going to get a pig heart in the next present or something.
How long do you think he was watching you?
Oh, definitely weeks. It had to be weeks, right?
But that's it? I mean, you've lived there for quite a while, right?
Yeah, well, since August.
Okay. So he's probably been watching you for
And how long ago did you move in that couch, Vanessa?
The couch only happened, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
So
a month ago.
So he's watching you for at least 3 or 4 weeks because he knows about that.
Yeah, he's been watching that long.
Oh, and you know this guy probably has a log all about you. Maybe he has a shrine of you. Maybe he takes pictures from afar. Maybe he has some of your hair that you leave at the coffee shop.
I throw my cup in the garbage.
No, she pays. That's how she pays at the coffee shops. Oh, one lock. Oh, you one latte. That will be 3 locks of hair, please. Oh, you wanted extra sugar? Make it 4.
I could so see him taking your empty coffee cups and smelling them afterwards, you know, taking them.
he comes in with her to get his coffee, but he has his own cup. It's her crumpled up one that he picked out of the garbage to fill up.
He puts it over his junk.
So you don't make it dirty. Don't make it dirty.
You know
romantic.
He's doing dirty stuff. Come on.
He's very romantic.
Was he wearing a My Sister Sam shirt by any chance?
No.
Give him like a used Q-tip of yours. I'm just...
My underpants? What?
No, a used Q-tip.
Well, that was a great Valentine's Day gift, Vanessa.
I know.
Great Valentine's Day gift.
I think it's, I mean, again, I think it's, I don't want to sound like the broken record. I think it's great that there's no threat. I think it's great that, that any threat that is there that she could thwart on her own, which I got to be honest was always my angle in the first place. So I think that Vanessa could beat up most dudes. So it shouldn't be an issue.
And it was meant to be romantic, the gifts. They weren't, you know, in jest or in vain, you know.
I believe that he was not trying to scare me. He really thought that this might, you know, if there was maybe, like, if we had a little tiny connection, this would be the thing that sparked it.
Yeah, there would have been a shot there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, did you tell him that he did scare you?
I did say that, yeah, you can't knock on people's doors and that it was a little scary. Yes, I did tell him that for future reference so that he doesn't do that again.
Well, Jamie, although it's not going to work out for you and I, let me give you some advice for the next girl that you plan on stalking.
Kick in the door.
Exactly. Battering ram. Battering ram or an ether rag. Jimmy, those are the ways.
Jimmy, for your next stalkee, no means yes.
Oh, obviously. That goes without saying. Awesome. Well, Vanessa, again, congratulations on finding your man and finding out that it wasn't your man and congratulations on just everything, buddy.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week, Pally.
All right, bye.
Later.
Stone Cold Stunner! Stone Cold Stunner! I can't believe it! It's Best of Show, bestofshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. We'll be back.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Make me feel
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Very, very magical little medley. What's up? What are you giggling about?
I did a little tribute to the 8 songs that were eliminated in our Best in Show Radio Top 64 song.
Or 7 that got eliminated and 1 that stayed.
contest. And as Time of the Season came on, I was thinking, wait, what did this lose to? As Chris looks at me and said, wait, this song wasn't eliminated.
Yeah, unfortunately, you didn't give the proper respect to Bob Marley's Redemption song and played the Zombies Time of the Season instead.
So the Zombies beat out Redemption song?
No, they weren't even in the same bracket. I don't know what Keith must have been drunk when he did it, but that's fine. And we hope that you guys are drunk when you do your voting, which, by the way, we're ready. It is now. We're down to what I like to call the Extravagant 8. The Extravagant 8 are out there, and they're ready to be eliminated as this week begins, as we're going to move on to the Fancy 4. In the next week, we're going to get our votes out. There are only 4 big matchups for you to get your vote on. Go over to bestinshowradio.com.
Could they be the Fearsome 4? Fancy 4 sounds too little...
Yeah, that's team. Yeah, that's exactly the point. I know the Extravagant 8 sounded so macho.
David Bowie's in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I will say the
that
one thing.
Should be the faggy for
the big thing. No, fancy. Don't have to be so overt. We could be a little bit something, something not overt, I guess.
The Dandy 4.
Ooh, see, I didn't think of that.
The Dandy 4 holes, cool.
I love those guys. So good. But yeah, it's down to it. We're getting to the point. And I guess we have to talk about these things that we have to do.
We have to do things?
Yeah, there was additional contests that we were going to do on top of this. We're going to get people, hey, guys, you have to pick out which 5 songs Keith picked, which 5 songs Fred picked, which 5 songs I picked. And I'm saying we were going to say, hey, do it via email. I'm saying this Thursday's show, you have to call in. You have to figure out which one of the songs that which one of us did. And whoever did is going to get a fancy, fabulous prize. We'll decide what the exact prize is. But you'll call in. We'll do it that way. We'll handle it on the air this Thursday. So do your studying. Get it on. Figure out who picked what. On top of that, you talked about the fact that once we get to the end, we have to figure out and do cover songs.
Of the one that won, right?
Not of the one that won. I'm saying we're down to 4 brackets, right?
Yep. 8.
4 brackets.
8 songs.
2 for Keith, 2 for Fred, 2 for Chris, 2 for Brian. We do cover versions of the 2 songs that are going against each other this week.
That's good.
Give us the full week to do it. And for next Monday's show, have it for when we announce who the final 4 actually are. Excuse me, the Fancy 4 actually are. I'm saying go by brackets. You want to just pick a number between 1 and 4 right now?
I take 3.
Okay.
I'll take 2.
I'm going to take 1, leaving Brian what?
4.
Okay, so you know which one you picked?
Nope. That's okay. Why I just randomly.
You said 3.
Okay, you said 3. So, Keith, you are now going to be covering the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter and the Zombies' Time of the Season. We need to have those here for next Monday's show so it can be played when we announce who the right one is. And you know what? Then we'll play the one that didn't get in anyway. Which one did you pick?
Fred picked 2.
Fred, you picked number 2. You will be covering... The Who's Bob O'Reilly and David Bowie's Suffragette City.
Oh.
Congratulations to you. Brian, you're the lucky winner because you're going to get to be covering The Police's Can't Stand Losing You and Pink Floyd's Shine On You Crazy Diamond, which I'm very excited about that.
Full length. He has to cover Shine On You.
Every volume, every part of the song you have to go with. And I will be doing The Clash's London Calling and The Beatles' Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So this will be very exciting. This will be for next Monday's show.
Are we going to try to do this on Songsmith? What are we going to do it on? Do we have to do a certain application or you do your own thing?
It's entirely up to you. Cover the song the way that you see fit. If it's an interpretive dance that you're going to do, so be it. I would think you would try and do something, not subpar, invest some effort into it and do it. I think there's a lot of great stuff that can happen.
I wonder if I could turn Suffragette City into a rap song.
What do you mean think?
Glad to hear you say that, Chris, because next week you will be getting next week there's a music task at hand this week. Next week you will be finding out as the loser of
Does a kindergartner know that?
Oh, right. the Howard Stern bit we did last Monday. Right, I forgot. Okay,
the homeless kindergarten, as loser of the homeless kindergartners bit, you will be instructed on what you will be recording a medley of songs that you will be recording as the loser of that. But that'll come next week.
Okay, so I don't have to record three songs this week. I could just do two, and then I'll do two for the, or whatever the medley is. And it's just going to be one song? I don't have to do like a perfect album side of it, do I?
You have to just play a perfect album side instead of talking next week.
Oh, I would love it. I'd get a day off. I'd be very excited for it. I love the idea. I love the idea. I think I don't love the idea. You're going to make me do Creedence songs and crap that I hate. I hate you. But whatever. I lost the contest, so I'll go with it. I lost the Howard Stern game show, so I can't help it.
So, but for Monday, we should have these two songs.
These two songs, by Monday, have them here. We'll do them on the air. We'll play them, and we'll announce as we go on with it. And you guys got to get your vote on. Do what you can. And I'll be honest. The one thing that I've learned from this competition, from this whole Best in Shows, Best Song Ever contest, the one thing that I've learned is our listeners are the atypical classic rock listeners, because this is the same, like, eight songs that would have been on, you know, on every classic rock station's Firecracker 400.
Not the top eight, but these are eight top 150, top 200 songs.
Because everyone would have been embarrassed to nominate Stairway to Heaven. That's
Bob O'Reilly, there's definitely a top two or three in there.
Yeah, and you know what? And Freebird did get eliminated, so there's a little bit of variance. But yeah, the other thing that I learned is you guys have taste for crap. Because all the beautiful songs, not all, you know, there's some still great ones in there. I'm not saying that the, and I'm not even saying that the eight songs that are on the top aren't great songs. They are. But some of these matchups, some of the songs that got eliminated have just blown me away. You guys are really
Fight
insane.
The Power didn't make it?
Fight the Power actually did not make it. Didn't make it to the end.
It's a sin.
It really is. It really is sin. A sin.
Which songs did Brian get again, Chris?
Brian is going to be doing...
He's got Can't Stand Losing You and Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Can't Stand Losing You, and Brian actually is agreeing in the chat room. Dopes. You guys are dopes. And again, there's a lot of great songs. Obviously, lots of brilliant songs that have made it to the end here. I'll be honest, other than like two songs of the eight, I think the other six songs are phenomenal and are really valid.
What two songs aren't valid, is what you're saying?
Those would be the two that you're covering. I think Bob O'Reilly and Suffragette City are just hideous songs.
Well, maybe you could turn them around. Maybe you could.
Neither one should be in the final.
Well, maybe maybe my medleys of doing the songs might turn you around.
Maybe
thinking that they really are good.
Should I hold my vote, my personal vote, because I personally vote as well? Should I hold my vote until next week until I hear what you do?
Maybe you should,
just for that matchup.
Absolutely.
And maybe I'll sway the whole competition at that point by ending my vote at that point.
I guarantee that you don't change your mind.
I want to vote for other for that bracket. Other. Like any song other than either one of those two. Neither one should be in the Fancy Four. Were you about to say, Keith?
I've talked about the fact that I'm a pretty big David Bowie fan, I think, on the show. I mentioned it a couple times in the past. And Suffragette City is definitely probably in my bottom 10 of David Bowie songs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bottom 10 songs of ever, of every band ever.
But I will say that I'm glad he's in it, so I'll take it.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a terrible song. Terrible
it's
song.
It's not as bad. You know what it is?
On me, man, because you can't afford the ticket, all right?
Is that what you tell your therapist?
Obviously. Some creepy, stupid. But whatever. Hey, it is what it is. You guys voted. You know what it is? This is not Best in Show's Chris favorite song contest. This is not Best in Show's Brian's favorite song.
Obviously, the Wombats aren't in it.
The Wombats and Amy Winehouse are not in the list.
The Wombats and the Flobots.
Hey, best band ever. You know, but that's what it is. It's nothing like that. It's not that. It's what you guys want. So we're going to do it, and we're doing it. And
no Wu? Did any Wu make the top 64?
No, there was no Wu-Tang in there, surprisingly.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah,
it was in the top 64. That was kind of turned into a Wu-Tang song.
Right, it is on 8 Diagrams, so obviously it must be. But, yeah, so, guys, go over to bestinshowradio.com. Get your voting going. Get this, let's figure out who you think the Fancy Four are.
Should we be voting? Should we even take this step one step further and be voting on the songs that we do and who did the best cover versions of the songs?
For the Fancy Four? Maybe. But maybe. The jury's out on that. That's something we could discuss.
But something has to happen to the person that does the worst cover songs, the worst covers. Because you know Brian's probably going to be the guy that does the worst covers.
So he's not even going to do his. Yeah. Anytime we've ever done any sort of musical competition consistently, no disrespect, Keith tries to hand his in like a week late, and Brian never hands his in, ever. That's just the way it goes.
It can't be done spoken word, because I could see Brian taking up like the lyric sheet and just talking the words. Though. Oh, no way.
Wait, what were his songs again?
Brian's Can't Stand Losing You and Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Mine the time of the season. And
just so you know, Brian's already saying in the chat room, my computer is still broken. You have a four-track, my friend. Get to work.
Doesn't he fix computers for a living?
Not anymore. My bad. That's why he doesn't have a job.
He's an actor now, right? He's an actor now?
Exactly. Exactly. It's going to be a mess. He's not going to do anything. He's going to give a spoken word.
He's acting like his computer's broke now.
He's doing a good job.
Unless he gives us a live performance and he plays the karaoke version and sings it live.
Yeah, bring your little Game Boy with you and play the music and sing it on the show. That's fine.
And Fred's doing Suffragette City and...
And Bubba O'Reilly.
Bubba O'Reilly, the two worst songs of the eight.
And What Am I, Time of the Season and...
The one that Time of the Season and Gimme Shelter.
Oh, that's cool. That's gonna be good.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. This is gonna be an awesome contest.
Is there any rules as far like do you have to you guys are all musically inclined, so you guys have recording equipment or some sort of you have to play an instrument or is it
your
just
own interpretation of
whatever
the song?
Whatever it is,
cover the song however you want to do it. If you're gonna do a piss poor job, hey, great. Our listeners are the losers. But if you're gonna actually try. I think it'll be great. I think it'll work out awesomely. I think it'll be fantastic. So, guys, get your voting going. Get this going. It's an interesting contest. It's an interesting thing that we've got going.
What's
going
to be great is if you try really hard and if it sucks, that's going to be really great.
Well,
your heart and soul into it.
Singing so hard, like just like voice cracking. I love it.
Well, does anyone have any ideas about it now? I don't know if you...
we're going to mull it over.
Would you? Okay.
My techno version of Baba O'Reilly is going to be brilliant.
Nice. We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. We're going to see. We'll hear... Oh, my God.
Teenage Wasteland.
We'll cover that all next week. We'll get to it next Monday. But since we're talking about game shows, I figure, hey, maybe today is a day for us to, to focus on the now. Focus on the game show that that I put together for today, for us, for this special day. For this special day, as I'm hunting through my song list on my stupid Zune that I can't find what I'm looking for.
Does a kindergartner know?
What? Does a kindergartner know?
It's right after Monty Love.
You'd have it queued up?
No, of course not. I didn't realize we were doing it. I don't realize that we do a radio show. What are we talking about? Here we go. That's right. It's the Zune, man. If I had an iTunes thingamadaddy, iTouch, iPod, that's the word. Oh, it would be great. But, guys, it's President's Day, so I figured I'd put together a game show.
How much do you know all about the president? Yeah, it's a game show that'll suck almost as bad as the theme song does now.
So I just figured that would be a little something that we do give you. That's just a small example of the kind of musical stuff that I could put together. I have a game show here, presidential game show. Considering it is President's Day, if you guys didn't know, it's the reason why you didn't have to go to work today. And it's just some quick questions. Figure out if you know who some of our fine presidents were. You know what? I welcome any callers out there. If anyone has an interest, you want to take part, you can feel free to call and be a part 2-877-744-6005. I don't know what we're going to give you as a prize or anything, but hey, if you be a part of it. I have a list in front of me of 12 names. I'm going to rattle off some of these names, and I want to know if you guys think these people are presidents or not presidents. No penalty, no prize. You know what? There is a penalty or prize. How about this? The loser between the two of you guys, between Fred and Keith here, you take one of the songs from the other person that they don't want.
Hey-o.
So you I thought we were going to take one of Brian, so one of them will get done at least.
The loser has to do one of Brian's songs. Oh. Much better. Much better. The loser has to do three. There you go. So
the loser
it actually
has to do three songs.
Exactly. The loser has to do three songs. You'll do one of Brian's songs, one of your choosing. In the new game show that we're doing here called...
How much do you know all about the president? Yeah, it's a game show that'll suck as bad as the theme song does now.
So it's a nice little game show that I put together here.
Who's
for
President
us?
Yo?
President Yo, not mean. Come on, I like hip hop. All right, so I got names. You ready? You guys going right off the bat?
What, how does the what's the order?
Shoot. Odds even shoot. Who goes first?
Keith will go first.
Keith,
I'll go first.
I'm going to give you a name. You're going to tell me, is this person was this person a president or was this person not a president? You ready?
Go for it, buddy.
Right, I got to find something to keep scoring here. Let's
go see. For it, yo.
Fred. Keith.
Oh, I can't play.
The name is... Oh, no, you're welcome to play as well. You're welcome to play as well, but I want to get these two against each other.
Right.
Chester Allen Arthur. Chester Allen Arthur. President or not?
Yes.
Is that your answer?
Not anymore.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Give that boy a point. He's the 21st president of these United States of America. That's 1 point.
I thought he might have been a vice president, but
I don't know. I didn't look into all that that detail. Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Here it is, right off the bat in our new contest here, President of the United States.
I'm also going to close my laptop in the name of fairness.
Very, very truthful. Thank you, Keith.
John Tyler Jr. John Tyler Jr.
Mm-hmm. What? What about him?
President or not? Don't look on your iTunes.
Let me see.
Circles. Circles. That's your answer?
Say it again.
John Tyler Jr. President or not?
No president. There's no junior that was a president.
No junior is a president.
No.
That's your lie. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong or right, but that's the reasoning behind it.
There was never a junior for president. Never.
Okay. That's your answer.
He was never a president.
John Tyler Jr. was the 10th president of the United States. It's President's Day, bro.
President Tyler, not President Jr.
There was no junior president in the game show here.
How much do you know all about the president? Yeah, it's a game show that'll suck almost as bad as the theme song does now.
Hey, Jazza Dazzle, I want you to be involved in this. I don't want you to feel like you're not part of the game show, so I'm just going to throw a name out there for you. Charles Irwin Wilson. President or not?
Charles Irwin Wilson was a president.
Is that your answer?
It's my final.
Charles Irwin Wilson was the 5th Secretary of Defense. I'm sorry, he was not a president. You're incorrect, sir. It's a shame. It's a shame. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out why this...
Can you give us, like, Roosevelt?
Okay, your next question here. Roosevelt. Now, okay, you ready? Here we go.
Which one?
Yes. I mean, I could break this up with all the presidential trivia if you want. You want me to throw some extra presidential trivia? Because I got it here. You know, if you want to mention who the youngest president was. And, you know, we'll keep that for extra credits later. We'll keep that for extra credits. Where are we? Here we are. Keith. Benjamin Harrison.
Oh. President.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
He's the 23rd president of the United States. Give Keith one more point. There you go. Fred. William Henry Harrison.
There was a Harrison, but it wasn't William Henry. No. No, not a president.
I'm sorry, my computer is acting all crazy in front of me. I'm having issues. Your answer was no for William Henry Harrison?
Mm-hmm.
9th president of the United States, right before John Tyler Jr. That's too wrong for you, Fred. Too wrong. Are you sandbagging on purpose because you want to do 3 songs?
No. It's his ego. It's his musical ego.
There better be a 2-point question in there somewhere.
No, yeah, we'll throw some extra credits in afterwards. Hey, HS.
Yes.
Robert Lansing. Robert Lansing.
Robert Lansing was not a president. Final.
You're correct, sir. He was the 42nd Secretary of State of these United States. Awesome. Bobby G, you want to get involved in this at all?
No.
No. Lucky you. Lucky you.
Hell no.
Keith, come on. You're racking them up here. You're just winning left and right. Let me know if James Francis Burns was a president or not.
He was a president.
No, he wasn't.
Final.
He's white.
He was indeed the 49th Secretary of State and a Supreme Court Justice. He was not a president. I'm sorry, you are incorrect. Fred, you got some chance to make up ground here as I ask you. James Abram Garfield, president or not?
President Garfield, yes. He was the 17th president.
Ooh, so close, but so far the 20th president of these United States. Yeah. Give that man
but
one
point. He actually got Garfield as a question?
There are a couple easy ones in here. And just so you know, there are easy ones all over this.
I knew all about him. He loved lasagna, hated Mondays.
It's true.
So he shot up that schoolyard in England? California, wherever it was.
England, California. That's all the same. Chaz B. Dazzler.
Yes.
John Marshall. President or not?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I don't. I think, but I'm going to say John Marshall, I believe. No, I don't think he was a president.
Was that your phone a friend? That was answering.
Damn it. Freaking kindergartners. John Marshall was not a president.
John Marshall was the fourth Chief Justice of these United States and the fourth Secretary of State. He was not a President of these United States.
Sweet. Give one for Chow. Two for Chow.
Keith, with this answer right here, you can pull into an astounding lead.
Which would be?
3-1. Franklin Pierce.
Oh, my
president.
God.
Final.
Franklin Pierce is the 14th President of these United States.
That made up for Garfield.
Fred.
Yes.
Alexander Hamilton. President or not?
Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, Alexander Hamilton.
I knew there was a Hamilton, but it might not be Alexander. I'm going to say no. It's too easy. There was another Hamilton, I think.
Alexander Hamilton was the first Secretary of the Treasury. He would have been elected president if Aaron Burr didn't kill him. So, no, he was not a president. You got another point there. Yeah, you're keeping track of these scores, thank God, because I stopped.
Thank you, Mr. Burr.
I could have swore he was.
Chaz B. Dazzler, our 12th and final question. Warren Gamaliel Harding, president or not?
Warren Harding. Yes, he was president.
Ah, indeed he was. So you got two right, which would mean that
I
you
got
would
three
be...
right, by the way.
Three?
Yeah, I don't mess around.
Oh, you got the other one right? I don't keep track of scores. Awesome. Here we go. We've got Keith with three, Charlie with three, and Fred with two. But the point is, these guys, we're done with the 12 questions. There are no more presidents to ask about, so I'm going to throw some extra credit for you. I'm going to throw out a dollar bill, or excuse me, a piece of currency, and you're going to tell me which president is depicted on it. Are you ready?
Horrible with this.
You're horrible with it? Then tell me. Tell me, my friend. Who is on the dime?
John F. Kennedy.
Is that your final answer?
Unfortunately, yes.
That is incorrect, sir. I'm sorry.
Oh, can I take it?
You can steal it, sure.
Is Roosevelt?
Which one?
Neither, because their name wasn't pronounced like that.
There's no ruse in there. It's a clever ruse, my friend.
What are the options? Teddy and...
it would be Theodore or Franklin Delano.
What is your job again?
The guy with the mustache or the guy without one?
I don't think it's either.
It's Teddy.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I'm sorry, sir. That is incorrect.
Is it Truman?
No, it's Franklin.
It's Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Right. Is on the dime. All right, but that was a steal, so don't worry about it. There was no pointing happening there. So, Fred, I ask you right off the bat. $20 bill.
It's all about the Jeffersons, baby.
That's your answer, yes. Jefferson. Would you like to steal it? We are a presidential show.
Give me a second.
Barack is not on it.
I know who it is. 20.
I would think Hamilton, but I'm thinking of that Saturday Night Live thing. I think that's tens. $20 bill. Andrew Jackson?
Give that man 1 point!
Oh.
As he pulls away, as Andrew Jackson does win.
I wasn't thinking that.
All right. This is very exciting at this point. I'm trying to figure out where to go with this. Chaz B. Dazzler, $50. Who's on the $50
bill? $50
bill. Y'all.
Oh, is it William Holden?
It's not William Holden.
Who gets to steal it?
I don't think you guys should get to steal from Chaz. You guys could steal from
each
other.
I wouldn't steal $50 from Chaz.
Certainly not.
Thank you. No, I think it's actually Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, you're not stealing anything because Ulysses S. Grant actually is in there. Chaz B. Dazzler gets another point. Keith, we come back to you. The 50-cent piece. And I'm not talking about the rap superstar. The rap phenom. I'm talking about the 50-cent piece, the half dollar.
Oh, is that John F. Kennedy?
Is that your final answer, sir?
Yes.
Give that man 1 point. It is John F. Kennedy.
Are you going to give us the answer on the $50 bill?
It was Ulysses S. Grant, like he said.
Oh, really?
That's why I said no one gets a chance to steal from him.
Oh, that's why
right.
You got it right?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. I don't know why we continue at the competition, Fred, because you've already lost. But, hey, tell me who's on the $2 bill.
Keith's face.
Who's on the $3?
That's the $3. It's John Adams.
It's all about the Jeffersons, baby. Thomas Jefferson is on the $2.
That's why I thought it was on the $50.
Damn. I got to do take one of his songs now, Brian's songs.
Yeah, you get one of Brian's songs. You know what? If anyone is in the chat room, because my computer is totally frozen, if someone could find out from Brian or let Brian know which one of his two songs is being taken away. Which ones were Brian's? He was four, right? Here's your choice, Fred. You could either do Can't Stand Losing You by the Police or Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
I can't stand losing you, definitely.
Thank you. Not parts one through four of a song that you're doing for. All right. So now you've got three songs that you'll be doing.
Damn.
Very excited.
Damn.
Are you going to take the easy way out on these, Fred?
No.
You're off all week.
I know. I hate presidents.
Hey, it's President's Day, bro. They're the reason that you got it. You know what? Let's talk a little more. You want some extra credit?
The only thing good about a president is that they die one day.
Hey, how many of those presidents that died via assassination?
Two.
Four.
I mean, three.
Four. Who are they?
McKinley?
Yes.
Jefferson?
No.
I mean, McKinley?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
There was a fourth one?
Yes.
Do you know who it is? Reagan? But he didn't die.
No, he didn't.
Obama?
Was it Zachary Taylor because he was poisoned, or was that not confirmed?
No.
No, it wasn't?
Neither.
Was it Polk?
No.
Who was it?
It was your favorite lasagna-loving president,
Garfield?
James Abram Garfield.
He was assassinated too.
Indeed,
huh?
He was. You know, both Garfield and McKinley were shot and lived for a week afterwards because of the horrible conditions. They died from gangrene and infections.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Yes, exactly.
And Garfield was in the presidency when he died, or this was years after the presidency?
No, he would be an assassinated president.
Okay. So he was in office while he got shot. Wow.
An active president assassinated.
All with shootings, right? No stabbings? All with gunshot?
Yes.
No rapes? They weren't raped to death?
No one was raped to death.
Chris didn't know that.
I had to look at it. I was like, what? Who was the youngest president? You guys know who the youngest president was? By the way, for all the kids out there that are listening, bring this bit of best in show to your social studies class, to your global studies class, and know that we're learning you something good.
Well, I think it's Obama now, but I think it was Kennedy.
It's
Obama is 48 years old. He is far from the youngest president.
Kennedy was 45 or 46, I believe.
Kennedy was 43 years old.
He was the youngest.
Is he the youngest president?
Yes.
Youngest president?
I thought it was Clinton or Bush.
Not even close.
No? How old was Clinton when he got elected?
I have no idea. I know who the...
Close. He was 45.
I know who the youngest was. I know who the second youngest was.
Then he's probably right, Kennedy.
I'll go with Kennedy, too.
Oh, wait. Zachary Taylor was 14, I think.
The youngest elected president was John F. Kennedy. But the youngest president was Theodore Roosevelt, who was 42 when he inherited office when McKinley was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show Radio for the presidential edition of our program. Who's this?
This is President Brian.
President Brian, welcome to the show, my friend.
Someone play my presidential theme song.
Oh, sorry, I apologize. Where is it? Let me find it here. Here it is. It's right over here, like this.
No, that's all right. I'm just the president.
How much do you know all about the president? Yeah, it's a game show that'll suck as bad as the theme song does now.
So, President Brian, what is up?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Congress. I thought it was Junior who was the youngest president. No,
you thought it was Junior who was the youngest president. Which Junior was that be?
The Tyler Junior one, the one that Fred thought was his last name was actually Junior.
John Tyler Junior was not the youngest president. No, he was not.
I figured the Junior that was a key, but no.
No, I'm sorry, sir.
President Brian, how are you enjoying tonight's show?
It's excellent. I'm loving Brian Free Mondays.
As are we. Almost.
They are a treat.
9 minutes to the end of the show when you called, so no, we didn't escape. We didn't get away unscathed. Hey, Brian, you want to be involved in some presidential trivia?
I could do that. Did Fred already take the good cover song away from me? I gotta do freaking Pink Floyd's "Shine On You Crazy Diamond."
Yes, you do, sir. But you're not going to do it, so don't worry about it. It's not a big deal anyway.
I'm going to do it. It's just going to be in my mind.
Oh, good.
No, then you have to bring a karaoke version and do it live. You got
to
do something.
You have to bring a karaoke machine. You have to buy a karaoke machine for the show so we can just do songs every week.
Oh, I can do that for 3 hours.
Awesome.
I'm willing to fart "Shine On You Crazy Diamond" and record it.
That'll be genius. That'll be absolutely genius. Hey, Brian, do you know who served the shortest term in office as president of these United States here on President's Day?
That has to be John F. Kennedy Jr., no?
No.
But, No, I'm sorry to say I don't then.
That would be William Henry Harrison. William Henry Harrison, 32 days in office.
Why? What happened to him?
He died. Wah. He ceased to live. Cause of death, not living.
Rape?
Wait, I think I heard about that. Like, he got the flu at the inauguration.
That is correct, sir.
He did his inauguration in the winter and refused to, like, put a jacket on to look...
He died of whooping cough.
He actually did. He died of pneumonia, I think, like a month afterwards.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Do you know who the first president to die in office was?
The first president to die in office?
Yes.
I'm going to go with John F. Kennedy. No, that's about it.
He died in his car.
That'd be a good. That's a good. That's a good guess.
Then I'm just going to go with that.
The same William Henry Harrison. He was the 9th president of the United States. He's a 2-time winner. He was only there for 32 days, and he died first. The 9th president.
Oh, Harrison was before Kennedy. All right. Okay.
Just shortly before him.
All right.
Awesome. I don't know if there's any other presidential trivia that I have. How many presidents were there?
How many presidents
yes.
do we have?
Yes.
John F. Kennedy.
I'm sorry. That is incorrect.
How many do we have? 50? 52?
I'm really bad at this game.
52 presidents? How many presidents?
Is that really what your answer is? You know how many presidents.
It's a trick question.
I really
though.
Don't.
Is it? Are you talking about actual human beings or how many different, you know, 4-year terms were there? Human beings.
No,
the
I'm talking about.
The correct answer is we have one president, sir. One president.
How many presidents have existed in our country's lifetime?
So 48? 47?
I think it's 50.
51, right?
50? 51? It's like 50, somewhere around the 50.
Isn't it 50?
Before 1958, it was 48. But afterwards, like, Alaska and Hawaii got voted.
John F. Kennedy. That is correct.
Isn't it?
Barack Obama is the 44th president of these United States.
Oh, wow.
Maniacs.
So 51 is going to be Zordak.
Right, exactly. And the Way Outs, my favorite group of all time.
I got to play that number in the lotto this week.
Oh, please do. Please do.
I wish Brian was just like an unemployed guy with a cigar playing the lotto in the middle of the day.
And my,
I can do that.
Yes. My last presidential question, thankfully, to all of you listening. The last question that I have in my new contest.
How much do you know all about the president? Yeah, it's a game show that'll suck almost as bad as the theme song does now.
How many presidents did not take a bride? How many presidents did not take a bride?
A bride?
A bride.
Oh.
With a D.
Jeez, I have to imagine all of them had wives.
Is that your final answer, Brian?
No.
That's my final answer,
Did you say bribe?
No, I said bride. The same joke that Giggs went for a minute ago.
All of them also took bride.
I didn't hear him.
Idiots.
I'm going to go with two.
What?
Two. Two presidents didn't take a bribe. A bride.
No, I'm sorry. The same joke that Keith said 1 minute ago and Giggs said 1 minute before that. Keith.
John F. Kennedy.
I think there was only one president that didn't have a bride, and I think it was the guy that replaced Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson. No, Lady Bird. Damn.
You maniac. I just like saying maniac.
There was one unmarried president. Don't ask me who it was. It was Michael Douglas in the movie The American President.
That is correct, sir.
Did you just say that LBJ was gay? Is
yes.
That what just happened?
That's what just happened.
I think there was three that never took a bride. Or bride.
Did you say bride?
No. Bride with a D. That's the same joke that Fred made 2 minutes ago, Keith right before him, and Giggs right before that.
I'm going to say three.
I did it before them.
Well, there is one correct answer at the table, and it belongs to my friend Keith, my lover, my compatriot, my friend. James Buchanan never took a bride. Curious. Curious. Wouldn't you think?
He had money. He didn't need to take a bride.
Right.
Interesting.
I'm done doing this stupid voice now because I'm not going to do this contest anymore. Brian, you want to talk about anything else before we end this piece of crap?
No, that was an excellent game show. Very presidential.
Boy, thank you so very, very much. It's very important to me that you believe that to be the case.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Buchanan's a fag.
Wow, that was really unnecessary.
If a president took his own life during office, would it be an assassination or a suicide? What would they consider that?
I think that would be considered a suicide.
Yeah.
I don't think he was assassinated by himself. Is that what you're saying? I don't think assassination means the president died at someone's hands. Assassination means someone killed somebody.
But it means that the president died. An assassination only, you know, you cannot be assassinated. You were just murdered. No, you were just murdered. Isn't assassination mean somebody in the political world?
You're
going
to tell me that no one's ever killed, no, there's never been a gang. Talk to me about former WWF superstar Dino Bravo, who was murdered in his living room, assassination,
murdered.
Gangland style.
Murder.
Assassination was the term used to describe
Biggie got assassinated, son.
No, they were just shot. I mean, those guys are just shot. I mean, come on.
Smoking mad blunts.
He was shot. Come on. Assassination only deals with presidents and people with political power, right? That's what I thought. I don't think a normal person could be assassinated.
You know what?
Hold some power.
Assassination is the targeted killing of a public figure.
Yeah, of a public figure.
Oh, you feel stupid.
Right. So Biggie? No,
John F. Kennedy. Assassinated.
Yeah, man. Biggie was a public figure.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Sicker than your average.
Come on. Craziness.
He wasn't assassinated.
He obviously was.
He was shot.
He ain't here. I don't see him around the room.
See, I don't believe with that public figure thing. Where'd you get that?
I don't believe that dictionary thing that you use.
Where'd you get that that definition?
I ain't never heard of no Merriam-Webster.
he called it out, Merriam-Webster. Wait, didn't it prove you right?
No, it proved me wrong. Because it was a public figure. What could public figure mean? It doesn't mean political figure. It means public.
Weren't you saying that a regular person can't be assassinated?
Yeah, can't be. But I don't think like a famous person can be assassinated. Like,
he's saying only presidents.
Only presidents? Yeah, Tom Cruise gets killed tomorrow, shot. What? Tom Cruise is assassinated?
What's your job?
Yes.
What?
Not if he's just murdered, like if he's assassinated.
You're saying
it's done because of that. If it's a random murder.
You know, like that is my argument.
If he's in it like a 7-Eleven and gets shot by somebody stealing the 7-Eleven, I wouldn't consider that assassination.
I just want to go on record and say, if Tom Cruise is killed in a 7-Eleven tonight, I had nothing to do
by
with it.
By someone stealing the 7-Eleven?
I hope he does, though.
Like they just loaded the whole thing onto a truck and Tom Cruise was at the Slurpee machine.
Run your store. Run your 7-Eleven.
Awesome. Run your wallet, Cruise.
So I don't believe it. I don't believe anyone could be assassinated.
Well, you're wrong. You're wrong and a fool.
I hate being wrong.
I'm sorry. You know what I hate more than that? When the show's over. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Special thanks to all of our friends that took part in tonight's program. Who's that? Brian? Vanessa?
Monty.
Sorry,
bud.
Think that's about it?
He'll be there. Monty will
be there. Special thanks to our buddy Chaz the Dazzle for coming, sitting in with us, doing a fine job with us tonight.
Thanks very much for having me.
We'll see you guys on Thursday here from Best in Show. We'll see you tomorrow for the DJ New Style Show.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie, really. It's a shame, bro. Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Peace.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.